Wild and Precious, written by C. Jane Elliott, narrated by Casey Kelly. Chapter 1. Brent Granger walked out of the DuPont Circle metro station, strolled down the block, and entered his favorite coffee shop, taking a seat at the counter.
"The usual, Kentucky?"
asked Sally, his regular waitress, already pouring him a cup of joe.
"Yep."
Brent opened his Washington Post and took a contemplative sip of coffee.
Ah, caffeine. Nectar of the gods.
After scanning the front page, he got out the weekend section and checked the music happenings. Sally set down a plate with his usual, 2 eggs over easy wheat toast and hash browns.
"Thanks, Sally."
"Anytime, Kentucky." She leaned against the counter, snapping a towel between her hands.
"So how'd your date go?"
Brent made a face.
"Don't ask."
"That bad, huh? Let's just say neither of us will be looking for a second one."
"Aw, Brent.
That's a shame. A cute boy like you and so nice. Those gals don't know what they're missing.
You got any others lined up?"
"Oops. Got a customer." She bustled away, and Brent heaved a grateful sigh. He liked Sally, but his love life was a depressing topic. He buried himself in the newspaper and his breakfast for the next 15 minutes. Once he'd sopped up his last bit of egg with his last bite of toast and congratulated himself on having his food come out even, Brent dropped a generous tip on the counter, waved goodbye to Sally, and left the coffee shop for his walk to work. The June sun shone brightly, and Brent walked briskly, enjoying the summer day. As he neared the office, his steps slowed. Just ahead, a tall, dark-haired man was stepping out of the passenger side of a Mercedes. Graham Stoneford, Brent's boss. Graham leaned through the open window to kiss the man inside, who had scooted over from the driver's seat, then straightened up with a laugh and turned Brent's way. When he caught sight of Brent, he showed no embarrassment about his public kiss, but then Brent wouldn't have expected him to. He hoped he wouldn't be stuck in the elevator with him, but Graham stood on the sidewalk and waited for him to catch up.
"Morning, Brent," he said, bright and chipper.
"How are you?"
Okay.
Brent trudged along beside Graham, hating how tongue-tied and awkward he became in his presence. Graham Stoneford, editor-in-chief of Washington Arts Magazine, was considered something of a wunderkind at age 30 to be running a successful magazine and website devoted to the arts in the nation's capital. He dressed to kill, was photographed at parties of the young Washington elite, and was openly, unabashedly gay. He also happened to be stunningly handsome, charming, and articulate, and Brent felt about as exciting as a lump of blah next to him. "Well, off to the salt mines." Graham clamped a hand on Brent's shoulder, then seemed to think better of it and let go. They headed for the elevators in silence, Brent trying and failing to come up with something to say. Graham smiled at Brent, all dazzling white teeth, and rescued the situation as usual. "I liked your piece on the Birchmere." The doors opened and Graham put out his arm to hold them, waiting for Brent to get on first. "How did you get the idea to research the history of the whole neighborhood?" He fixed Brent with those light gray eyes, unnerving in their intensity. Brent shrugged, thinking about the Birchmere, a local music venue, and the great little neighborhood it was in. Del Rey, it was called, part of Alexandria, Virginia. He thought it might be cool to live there someday. "I don't know, it just came to me. I guess I like putting stuff in context." Graham continued to stare straight at him, looking thoughtful. "And context for art, in this case music, can and does include place."
"Brilliant."
Feeling his cheeks warm, Brent cursed his unfortunate tendency to blush as the doors opened for their floor.
Thanks, he mumbled, and escaped to his cubicle.
Brent was turning on his computer when Ari Cohen, his closest friend at work, popped his head over the divider.
"Val, how was the hot date?"
Ari grinned at him, waggling his eyebrows.
"Don't ask. The less said, the better."
"It's that bad, huh? Well, bummer.
When are we going to get you laid, Granger?"
"Don't know.
Don't you have some work to do?"
Brent asked, pointedly. He liked Ari, but wanted to leave at a decent hour today so he could get back to the short story he was writing. He didn't begrudge his job, having landed a position at Washington Arts right after graduating from the University of Kentucky with a BA in English was awesome.
but it left little time for his own writing. Brent had been assigned to the music beat, so many of his evenings involved going to concerts. That was actually pretty awesome, too. It had forced him to branch out beyond the classical and electronica music he'd mainlined in his geeky high school and college years. You'd think, coming from Kentucky, Brent would be up on bluegrass, but he'd barely listened to it before doing the story on the Birchmere, which featured bluegrass, folk, and jazz. Lunch? Ari asked, and popped down behind the divider when Brent agreed. Later, at a table in their usual sandwich shop, Ari opened his laptop. Okay, let's regroup here. You're burning through these prospects left and right. He pulled up Match.com, the dating website he'd talked Brent into joining a few months ago, and started clicking. Brent stared out the window, recalling all the boring, awkward, and downright bad dates he'd been on recently. He didn't blame the women. Most of them were okay, but Brent couldn't seem to connect with them. He sighed. He was getting too old for this crap at age 24. Finding someone to love shouldn't be this hard. Ari snapped his fingers. Hey, pay attention. Look at these. There's a few new ones. Brent gave the screen a listless once-over. Ari was lucky. He'd met his fun and lively girlfriend, Lexi, a few weeks after moving to D.C., and they'd been together ever since. So, what do you think? See anyone interesting? Shaking his head, Brent returned to staring out the window, watching the cars crawl around DuPont Circle. He sharpened his gaze. Graham was walking on the other side of the street, talking animatedly with another man, who threw back his head and laughed as they disappeared into a restaurant.
Brent!
He swung back around to find Ari regarding him with frustration. Something tells me you're not really into this right now. You're right, man. I appreciate it, but I guess I'm going to take a break.
Oh, all right.
Ari resumed wolfing down his sandwich. Chewing, he said, I can ask Lexi if she knows anyone else. She keeps going on about how cute you are, blah, blah, you remind her of a young Martin Freeman, whatever the fuck.
Brent snorted, then shuddered, both at the sight of Ari talking with his mouth full and at the memory of the last woman Lexi had fixed him up with.
Yeah, let's just leave it for now.
Chapter 2. That weekend, as Brent wandered down a street in Adams Morgan, gazing in the shop windows and thinking about his short story, someone said his name. He turned around. Oh, man. Could he ever catch a break? Graham Stoneford stood there in jeans and a T-shirt, a smile on his face. Brent almost didn't recognize him without his classy work clothes. What are you doing around here? Graham asked. Do you live in this neighborhood?
No. I like to wander around different places on my day off.
What about you? Oh, the same for me. Hunter's working, so I thought I'd take a walk, maybe do a little shopping. They strolled along the sidewalk, and Brent resigned himself to more one-on-one time with the boss.
Hunter, is he your...
Brent stopped, not wanting to presume too much.
My better half?
Yeah. The guy you caught me kissing the other day in front of our building.
Sorry about that.
Graham grinned.
Hey, that's okay. No fault but my own for my PDA. My lack of filter is going to get me in trouble one of these days.
I think it's great. Brent got flustered. But for some reason, he wasn't as intimidated by Graham today. So he plowed ahead with his own thoughts.
What I mean is, I think it's cool the way you do your own thing and don't care what others think. I wish I was more like that.
Graham seemed to be considering him with interest.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
I think it just takes time to grow into that not caring what others think. I had my share of trying to fit in when I was younger.
Really? I thought you were, born. That way.
Oh, that sounds bad. To his relief, Graham smiled.
You mean born fabulous?
Graham joked.
Oh, no, son. It takes a lot of careful study and apprenticeship before one can be entered into the roles of the fabulous.
But if you're interested, I can take you on and instruct you in our ways. He laughed.
You should see the look on your face. Oh, well, I think I'll pass on that for now, man. All I'd like is to be less self-conscious.
Well, you're young yet, and I don't see you as all that self-conscious. In fact, you're really independent in your thinking, which is why I love your work for the magazine. It's original and fresh. Were you always interested in writing? Or is music your main focus? writing. And with that, Brent found himself chatting away as they strolled through the neighborhood, talking with Graham about lots of things, including his dream of getting a creative writing degree and becoming a published author. Graham stopped in front of an Ethiopian restaurant. Oh, this is my favorite. Do you like Ethiopian food?
Well, sure. I mean, I guess.
You've never had it. Come on, you'll love it. Graham swept into the restaurant. Brent followed in his wake. As Brent sat cross-legged on a pillow, tearing pieces off the rubbery bread and dipping them into various dishes he couldn't identify, he realized he was having more fun than he'd had in ages. Along with being thoughtful and smart, Graham was one of the most hilarious people he'd ever met, and Brent was in stitches for most of their lunch.
If only my dates could be like this, Brent said, after another bout of laughter between them, then widened his eyes. Oh, wow, man. That sounded dumb.
Graham didn't seem fazed.
They're not? But why? You're so fun to talk to.
Any woman would be nuts not to appreciate you.
Well, tell them that, but I guess I don't really appreciate them either. I don't know, it's like awkward and boring most of the time. Whatever. Ari keeps trying to set me up, but anyway, how did this get into talking about my love life, or lack thereof?
Graham regarded him, warmth in his eyes, and said softly, You'll find it, Brent. Everyone deserves to have love in their life. You're young. You'll find it. Graham's words touched Brent, but the intensity of the moment made him uncomfortable. Even worse, he noticed he was getting aroused. He shifted on his pillow with a weak laugh.
Hey, no more of this young crap, okay? You're not that much older than I am.
Graham had opened his mouth to reply when his cell phone buzzed. He smiled at the name on the display and picked it up.
Hey there. You done?
Good, yeah. I ran into Brent from the office, and we're at Mescarim for lunch. You want to meet us here?
You are.
Great. See you in 5. He hung up with a happy expression. Hunter happens to be a few blocks away. I'd like you to meet him. Hunter came in a few minutes later, a staffer for a congresswoman who was deep into a re-election campaign. He sat with his hand in Graham's, regaling them with stories about the insane hours he was keeping, while Graham gazed at him so tenderly, Brent felt a sudden twinge of emptiness. Later, back in his apartment, Brent tried to work on his story, but the words refused to come. He lay lengthwise on the couch and stared at the ceiling, jiggling his foot, then sat up and grabbed his book of Mary Oliver poetry. Brent loved poetry, even more than he loved fiction. He'd written tons of angsty poems in high school before shoving them all in a drawer because he couldn't quite bring himself to burn them. In college, he'd studied modern poets, and Mary Oliver's poems, among others, had inspired him to get serious about writing. As he paged through the book, his gaze fell on The Summer Day, a poem he'd always liked. He stopped to savor the last line, the line that talked about life being wild and precious, the line that asked what he intended to do with the one life he'd been given. He could almost see Mary Oliver shaking her finger at him, telling him to get on with it. Brent's mind drifted. Ari talking to him about new prospects, his last date with the stilted conversation and awkward silences. Graham, warmth in his gaze, saying, You'll find it. He threw the book on the floor and closed his eyes. Chapter 3. Cody Bellstrom stepped back from the wall to admire his handiwork on hanging the photograph. Bet and Aurora's storefront for their graphic arts business was getting spiffier by the day. Bet Johnson stood at his side, arms folded, considering, I don't know, I think that one should be a few inches higher. He scowled at her. You would. She grinned and pushed up on her toes to kiss him on the cheek. Thanks, Sugar Pie. Now, where's my other half? She should have walked her skinny white ass in the door by now. As if on cue, Aurora Lane came in carrying a carton with 3 coffee cups and a white bakery bag. Bet brightened and glided over to take it off her hands, kissing her as she did so. Cody watched for a moment, smiling at the contrast between Aurora, who was tall, thin, and blonde, and Bet, who was short, curvy, and African-American. Then he turned and started to remeasure the wall. Aurora walked over, her eyes narrowed. So what's this I hear about you wanting to do a little experimentation? she asked, drawing out the last word mockingly.
"Hush up, sugar," said Bet. "If Mr. Cody wants to fly his freak flag, I say more power to him."
Cody tried to ignore them, now marking the wall with a pencil, but Aurora made it difficult by sidling over and leaning against him.
"What's wrong, lover?" she breathed.
"Women don't do it for you anymore?"
He wrapped his arm around her waist and kissed her, then smiled down at her.
"Not if they're not you, babe. But I don't think Bet would approve."
"Damn straight. Now get your hands off my woman, ho, and tell us what this is all about."
Bet laid out the pastries and handed them each a cup. Cody straddled a chair and took a bite from his cheese Danish. After washing it down with some coffee, he said,
"It's not that big a deal. You know I'm bisexual. I like it all. I've been playing more on the hetero team lately, but I don't know. I think I'm ready for a change."
Bet snorted.
"Well, that's bound to upset your three different girlfriends, seeing as how they all think they're your one true love."
Unconcerned, Cody kept chewing. "They all know we aren't committed or exclusive, or at least they should."
"Mm-hmm,"
Bet said in her southern drawl.
"Tell them that when they show up here weeping and carrying on."
"Such a heartbreaker,"
Aurora agreed.
"Come on, guys, help me out here. I don't really know where to start, since I never got into the gay scene when I moved here. I mean, I was with Eliza, and that was going to be it for me, so that wouldn't have been cool."
"What are you looking at us for?" Aurora asked.
"We're lesbians. We've been together for 5 years. We're the most boring people you know."
Bet laughed. "I wouldn't go that far, babe. Come on, we can think of someone for Cody. Whatever happened to Terry? Wasn't he single last time we saw him?
Moved to Cleveland? I told you, we're hopeless. How about a gay bar?"
Cody rolled his eyes.
"Do I have to? Grinder?"
Bet suggested.
"God, no,"
Cody said, affecting a shudder. Aurora frowned.
"Okay, what about a dating website? Match.com has a section for same-sex dating."
"Okay.
I mean, why not? Can you guys help me write an ad?"
Cody stretched with a lazy smile, watching Bet and Aurora run around arguing with each other about what his ad should say. As with all new endeavors, once he'd decided, Cody was ready to throw himself in with enthusiasm. But if others wanted to do the work for him, all the better. Bet, being the practical one, got out pad and pen and started filling out the basics, while Aurora paced, then said,
"Aha! We've got to make this classy."
She went over to a small bookshelf crammed with books left by the previous owner.
"Classy? You're not going to find anything classy in that old pile of crap,"
started Bet. But Aurora shushed her, pulling out a slim volume with a triumphant look.
"Here we go. Poetry. Mary Oliver. Love her."
She started turning the pages.
"Oh, yeah. Now this is good."
"Poetry?" said Cody, doubtfully.
"I don't know."
"No, no, this is good. You put some poetry in there, and you get someone who can read and all. Okay, let me find something."
Aurora resumed pacing while she peered at the book.
"Watch you don't run into the wall, sugar."
Bet tapped her pen on the desk as she reviewed her writing.
"All right, so you say you're looking for friends and lovers. SWM, of course? Or should it be GWM? Or BIWM?
We'll have to check the site."
"Friends?"
Cody asked.
"Well, some of these dudes may be shy, especially these literary types."
"Or bi-curious,"
Aurora said.
"Geez, okay, if you say so."
Abandoning his chair, Cody picked up his hammer and returned to the wall.
"Keep up the good work and let me know."
"Found it," yelled Aurora. "Come look at this. It's called The Summer Day."
Joining her, Bet and Cody leaned over the book as Aurora read the poem aloud.
"Oh, and this last line is killer, all about your wild and precious life. That's deep."
Bet clapped her hands.
"Perfect.
The whole poem is too long, so we'll just stick that last line in." She pointed at Cody.
"Sounds like something you'd say. Grab your laptop, honey. We're gonna get on that website and get you going."
"Excellent." Cody reached for his messenger bag.
"Hey, and are you guys coming to my concert at Jam and Java? It's tomorrow night."
"Wouldn't miss it, sugar."
Chapter 4.
Brent sat in the Monday staff meeting, glad for the air conditioning. It was another perfect summer day in mid-July, which for Washington, D.C. meant 95 degrees and muggy as hell. Graham led the lively discussion, appearing cool and crisp, despite his long-sleeved shirt with the French cuffs and shiny dark blue cufflinks. Cufflinks? Brent couldn't imagine ever wearing them, but Graham made them seem perfect, which was the story for pretty much anything Graham did. He was a frigging perfect human being, in Brent's eyes. Since their random lunch a few weeks ago, Brent had felt much more at ease around him. He'd started speaking up during staff meetings, and had even challenged Graham on some points, which had made Graham nod at him approvingly. At the end of the meeting, as the staff picked up their laptops, Graham leaned over to Brent. "Can I see you for a minute?"
"Sure."
Brent glanced at Ari, who feigned horror.
"Uh-oh, the principal's office,"
Ari whispered, then mouthed. "Lunch?"
"Yeah, meet you by the elevators,"
Brent said, and followed Graham to his office. Graham closed the door, turned to him, and smiled.
"Don't look so serious. This isn't even about work. I just didn't want staff overhearing us making a secret liaison."
What?
Graham laughed. "Remember we talked about the new exhibit at the Hirshhorn? Well, Hunter is traveling and I'm bored out of my mind, so I wondered if you'd like to hang out with me this Sunday and see it. You'd be doing me a great service by keeping me from climbing the walls."
Brent brightened.
"Sure, man. That sounds great."
He left Graham's office with a spring in his step and met Ari by the elevators.
"Everything okay?" Ari asked.
"Yep. Good. I'm starving. Also, I want to show you some new prospects on the website."
Brent frowned at him.
"Didn't I say I wasn't interested?"
"Yeah, but I think you'll like some of these."
"Oy vey," Brent muttered, which made Ari laugh. "Your Yiddish is terrible, you putz."
In the sandwich shop, Ari clicked and commented while Brent toyed with his food. He'd lost faith that this website was going to match him up with anyone compatible, but didn't have the heart to tell Ari.
Ari chortled. "Oh, boy. Some of these are so bogus. Listen to this shit. Favorite quote. Some poetry shit about a wild and precious life. What the fuck ever? Mary Oliver? What?"
"It's from a poem by Mary Oliver." Brent bent over to see Ari's computer.
"What's the rest of it say?"
Ari peered at the screen and his face fell.
"Oh, crap. Sorry, man. Don't know how I got here. This is in Dudes, Seeking Dudes."
Seized by a memory of Graham and Hunter holding hands and smiling at each other, Brent grabbed Ari's wrist to stop him from clicking away from the page.
"What are you doing?"
Nothing, Brent said.
"I like that poem, so I wanted to see it."
"Huh. Suit yourself, I gotta pee."
After Ari left for the restroom, Brent moved his laptop closer and read through the entry.
Huh.
Along with liking Mary Oliver, the guy was a local musician. He didn't look like an axe murderer, and the ad said he was interested in friends, as well as lovers. At least, those were the reasons Brent gave himself for noting the user ID number and writing it on a napkin before returning the computer to Ari's side of the table.
Chapter 5. That Friday night, at the end of a long work week, Brent wanted nothing more than to chill at home with a beer and Netflix. Instead, he was driving his battered Toyota down a winding road deep in the horse country of Fauquier County. He came to the wagon wheel that marked the property, according to the directions given by his brother Darrell, and turned up the long driveway of what appeared to be quite a large estate. A valet, waiting in front of the house, took his car keys.
If it stalls out, pump the gas pedal a few times, Brent told him.
He paused on the sidewalk, taking in the wide green lawns and Terra-like plantation house. Darrell had gotten engaged to his longtime college girlfriend, Melinda Sorensen, and her well-to-do parents were giving them an engagement party. Darrell had pleaded with Brent to come, saying,
"You gotta be there with me, bro.
They're making it into some fancy-ass thing with all their rich friends." After straightening his tie, Brent opened the beveled glass front door. Everything sparkled, from the candles to the brilliantly lit chandelier, to the champagne and the flutes being passed around on trays, to the diamond earrings dripping from Mrs. Sorensen's ears.
Toto, we're not in Kentucky anymore, Brent murmured to himself.
Before he had time to feel too out of place, someone clapped his shoulder, and there stood Daryl and Melinda hand in hand, grinning at him. Daryl's new suit appeared to be chafing him, but Melinda glowed with happiness in a stunning strapless dress, adding to the general sparkle with the diamond ring glinting on her finger.
Brent,
they cried as one, and put their arms around him. He laughed.
You guys are too funny. Do you have to do everything together? Even hug people?
Of course, Melinda exclaimed. We're joined at the hip, pretty soon for good. You look great tonight. If I'd known how fantastic you boys looked in suits, I'd have made you dress up a lot sooner.
Wonderful, Daryl said with a groan.
Not knowing a soul at this fancy soiree, Brent hung out with Daryl and Melinda, content to drink a beer and watch them laugh and tease each other. Eventually, Melinda broke away to wave at someone and came back with a petite, red-headed woman. She introduced her as Heather, one of her work colleagues, casting a meaningful glance at Brent as she did so.
Oh, great, a setup.
Heart sinking, Brent donned an interested expression and listened to Heather talk. At least he didn't have to think of anything to say. She chattered enough for the two of them. She also giggled a lot and put her hand on Brent's arm with every comment she made, in between snagging glasses of champagne from the trays of passing servers and downing them like lemonade. As Brent tried to make sense of what Heather was saying, he felt someone's eyes on him and glanced around. Graham stood across the room, elegant in a dark formal suit. He raised an eyebrow and his drink at Brent, then turned back to a small group of people who seemed to be vying for his attention. Ignoring Heather's cackling, which was growing louder by the minute, Brent leaned over to Melinda.
Why is he here?
She tore herself away from smooching Daryl.
Who?
Graham Stoneford, my boss. Brent jerked his head in Graham's direction, trying not to be too obvious.
Oh, right. He is your boss, isn't he? I forgot to tell Daryl he was coming. He's friends with Mom and Dad because of the arts thing. You know, they like to think of themselves as patrons of the arts or something.
Melinda wrinkled her nose. They met Graham at some benefit. They're always talking about how witty and intelligent he is.
And how gay? Asked Daryl.
Be quiet.
So what about being gay? I think he's gorgeous. And how many other men in Washington, D.C. have the balls to wear diamond ear studs and look amazing doing it?
Melinda cast a star-struck gaze in Graham's direction.
Diamond ear studs?
Brent checked out Graham's ears, but his attention was diverted by Heather, who leaned heavily on him, telling a drunken joke. As he tried to extricate himself from her limpet-like clinging, he caught Graham smiling at him, like he was sympathizing with his plight, and he couldn't help smiling back. After a few more interminable minutes, Brent finally got away when Heather paled, lurching, put a hand over her mouth, and Melinda grabbed her to rush her to the bathroom. Sighing in relief, Brent looked around for Graham, but didn't see him. He pulled on his tie, wishing he could leave, and walked into the large kitchen to deposit his beer bottle and find something to drink that wasn't champagne. As he straightened from the refrigerator, club soda in hand, he heard a familiar voice.
Having a good time.
Graham was leaning against the island, long legs crossed. He had a drink in his hand and an amused glint in his eyes.
Not really. Brent made a rueful face and opened his soda.
How do you know the Sorensens?
The groom-to-be is my brother.
Daryl's your brother.
Huh.
You two don't look a thing alike.
Nice suit, by the way.
Glad it mates with your approval, Brent quipped. Don't want to embarrass myself in front of all these ritzy people.
Graham tilted his head.
I wouldn't worry about ritzy. People are people, pretty much the same, no matter the trappings.
I'll keep that in mind, O master and guide to all things fabulous.
Graham's laugh was so exuberant that Brent laughed, too.
So, who's the girl?
Graham asked, once he'd composed himself. Still lounging against the island, he took a sip of his drink, like he had all the time in the world to hang out with Brent.
A friend of Melinda's that I just met tonight.
Ah, she doesn't seem like your type, though.
No,
She isn't, really.
No. Graham studied him, gray eyes intent. Your type would need to be someone intelligent, artistic, and with a twisted sense of humor.
Brent lifted his eyebrows.
Twisted sense of humor? How could you tell? I thought I hid that so well.
Graham grinned and had opened his mouth to respond when Daryl stuck his head in the kitchen.
There you are, bro. Come on, they're starting the toasts, and I need my best man.
Oh, okay.
Daryl left, and Brent said without thinking,
Fuck. Toasts.
You hadn't planned for that, huh?
God, no.
Brent's hands grew clammy. He hated public speaking. You'll do fine. Just make a joke about Daryl. You know, something funny from when you guys were kids. Then say how lucky he is to have found Melinda, wish them all the happiness in the world, and voila, a perfect best man toast.
Thanks. You saved my butt. See you Sunday.
See you Sunday, Graham replied, eyes twinkling. The Hirshhorn awaits our fabulous presence. Sunday was another hot and muggy day, but Brent and Graham stayed cool, hanging out in the Hirshhorn. Brent didn't know much about modern art, and Graham proved a fascinating guide, making Brent see things in the paintings that he never would have on his own. After they were done with the exhibits, they went outside to stroll through the sculpture garden. As they gazed at an Alexander Calder sculpture, Brent asked,
Are you an artist, too?
Sort of. Not anywhere in the league of these guys. My mother is the true artist in our family. I paint and sketch some, and I love interior decorating.
Shut up. I know it's a stereotype.
Graham waved his hands around and affected a lisp.
My God, dear, those curtains will never do.
No, you shut up. I wasn't thinking that at all. You have an eye for stuff. I mean, the way you dress, even how your office looks, so I'm not surprised about the interior decorating. You like my office? Graham looked pleased. Brent raised a playful eyebrow.
Well, yeah. It's much classier than those cubicles you stuck the staff in.
Ouch, sorry.
No, I could have made my cubicle more colorful by now, but I don't have your eye.
Like those paintings. I saw a crap ton more in them with you showing me than I would have by myself.
A crap ton?
Graham laughed. That's eloquent. He bumped Brent lightly on the shoulder. But thanks. I liked showing you. Before they left the gallery, Graham stopped in the store and bought a striking Miro print, then presented it to Brent with a flourish. For you, to decorate your cubicle. That evening, Brent let himself back into his apartment, setting the Miro print and his keys on the table. His laptop beckoned, but he had no desire to work on his writing. Instead, he flung himself on the couch and closed his eyes as pictures of the day floated in front of him. Graham, laughing, handsome in his casual jacket and tight jeans. Graham, pointing out something in a picture on the wall. Graham, smiling at him, gray eyes alight. Graham, crap. Brent jumped up and started pacing. After two laps around the living room, he came to a halt, nodded decisively, and grabbed his wallet, pulling out a folded paper napkin. Opening up his laptop, he navigated to Match.com and started typing. Chapter 6. Cody sipped his tea and scanned Kramer books from his vantage point in the Afterwards Cafe, looking for anyone fitting the description Brent Granger had given him. Short, he'd said, brown hair, hazel eyes, pretty nondescript, except for the part about wearing a plaid shirt. You didn't see that many plaid shirt wearers in this part of D.C. And then there was that thing in Brent's email about making new friends. That didn't seem very gay to Cody. Damn Bet for making him put friends in his ad. Bet and Aurora had laughed. Aurora telling him, Just look for the bi-curious boy, in plaid. Bet had added, but if he's wearing a baseball cap backwards, a chewing tobacco, run. Cody fidgeted, hoping this wasn't going to be a fiasco. They'd talked on the phone, and Brent had sounded okay. His low voice laid back, even sexy, with a hint of a southern accent. He'd seemed interesting, too. An aspiring writer, a book lover, a music reporter for Washington Arts. Cody was pulled out of his daydreaming by the sight of a short, brown-haired, stunning guy walking toward the cafe. gazing around uncertainly.
All right. If this was Brent, he was hotter than Cody had ever dreamed he'd be. Hot in an innocent, doesn't-know-he's-hot way. Plaid shirt. This is going to be fun, Cody thought, mentally rubbing his hands together. The man who had to be Brent had made it through the bookstore to the entrance of the cafe.
Cody flashed his most winning smile, lifting the Mary Oliver book from the table so the cover was visible. The guy lit up, and Cody sucked in his breath. Recovering quickly, he stood and said, "Brent?"
"Yeah, you must be Cody."
Brent walked over and sat down across from him. Cody, trying not to ogle his compact, banging body, too obviously. They ordered beer and appetizers and shot the breeze, checking each other out. Cody prided himself on his gaydar, but he wasn't getting a clear signal from Brent. He seemed like a wholesome boy from Kentucky, the type any girl would love to bring home to Mama. Cody favored the direct approach, so after 15 minutes of small talk, he sat back and let Brent have it. "What made you answer my ad?"
"Huh?
I mean, besides the Mary Oliver thing." Cody tapped his fingers on the poetry book, then leaned forward. "Listen, I'll just lay it out there. You seem pretty straight. My ad did say friends as well as lovers, so if that's what you're looking for, that's cool. Sorry if I seem blunt, but I like to get the cards out on the table." The color rose in Brent's face, but Brent held his gaze.
"I'm looking for a change. It hasn't been working with women, and I've had some, feelings that make me wonder. But I'm from a small town in Kentucky, so, yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm looking to experiment."
Cody suppressed the impulse to do a fist pump.
"Well, I'm all for experimentation."
He gazed at Brent's full lips, then gave him an encouraging smile. Brent smiled shyly in return before glancing at his phone.
"Oh, man, I'm going to have to go soon. I'm meeting my brother and his fiancée for dinner."
"Oh, okay." Wondering if this was a ploy to get out of the situation, Cody waited to see what Brent would say next.
"So tell me about your music. You said you compose and also play."
They fell into talking about Cody's music and the concerts Brent had covered for the magazine. Then Brent mentioned his writing and Cody asked him about what he was working on. They were still talking when Brent's cell phone rang 30 minutes later.
"Crap, I'm late."
Brent grabbed the phone.
"Daryl?"
"Yeah, sorry. I got talking with a friend and..."
"Okay, I'll be there soon."
"What?"
"Oh, no. Oh, you know I'm not interested in her."
"Didn't you tell Melinda?"
"Jeez."
Brent looked up and straight at Cody.
You know what? I'm gonna bail on you guys tonight."
"Yeah."
"Yeah. Something's come up."
As Brent talked, he ran his eyes over Cody's body, and Cody's fingers twitched.
"Sorry. Make up some excuse. I'll catch you later, bro."
Brent turned off the phone.
"You know, I set up getting together with my brother tonight, in case this turned out to be a disaster,
I figured.
But, I'm enjoying this."
Cody's heart gave a thump. Brent was so damn pretty when he blushed.
"Me too.
Want to take this party elsewhere? There's some good clubs around. Maybe I can help you do some research for that Georgetown article."
"Okay, good. I've got a few we can go check out, or..."
And then he stopped, looking uncertain. Cody leaned forward, his fingers brushing against Brent's.
"Or you could come to my place and I could show you that story I was telling you about."
Cody sat back and smiled. This whole evening was going way beyond his expectations. The bi-curious straight boy was looking at him with heat in his eyes and inviting him home.
"I'd love to."
Chapter 7. Brent opened the door to his apartment, feeling sweat trickling from his armpits, and invited Cody in. He moved to pick up the newspapers and shirts littering the sofa.
"Sorry, I wasn't expecting guests."
"Oh, great. That sounded lame."
"No problem."
Cody glanced around, then walked over to the bookcase and started checking out the books.
"You do that too?"
Brent asked.
"When I'm in someone's place for the first time, I go right to the bookcase to see what they read." and now I'm babbling. Can I get you something to drink? I have some beer.
Cody straightened up and leaned against the bookshelf, shaking his head. Tall and buff in his tight jeans and form-fitting shirt, Cody was really quite something. Sexy. That was the word for it.
Brent's mouth grew dry when Cody walked over with a purposeful stride and stopped in front of him. He took Brent's hand. Brent hoped his palm wasn't too clammy and sat down on the couch, pulling Brent to sit down beside him.
So?
Cody's blue eyes were warm, but despite his friendliness, Brent's stomach roiled. He let go of Cody's hand. So? Wincing at the hoarseness in his voice, he wiped his palms surreptitiously on his jeans.
You've never been with a man before. It was a statement, not a question.
Right. Brent began to lick his lips, then pulled his tongue back into his mouth, embarrassed. He lowered his eyes. Cody put his hand on Brent's knee and, zing, a pang of desire shot through Brent's dread.
You still interested in experimenting?
Cody asked, and squeezed his knee. Brent was finding it hard to breathe. Wasn't he supposed to be showing Cody his story? Then damn Mary Oliver chimed in on the proceedings, asking him how he was doing on living a wild and precious life.
Fuck it.
He turned to face Cody.
Yes.
Cody leaned in and kissed him, lips warm, and Brent was surprised by the stubble grazing his chin. Pulled forward by Cody's strong, assertive hands, he felt Cody's hard bicep when he grasped his arm for balance. Head swimming at Cody's undeniable masculinity, Brent opened his mouth to Cody's exploring tongue, gasping as Cody pulled on his lower lip with his teeth and then sucked on it. Cody ran a hand under Brent's shirt, calloused fingers stroking his back, while the other came down squarely on the front of Brent's jeans and pressed against his cock. Brent jumped, then opened his legs and pushed back against Cody's hand, fire spreading through his groin, head falling back against the sofa. Cody moved his mouth to Brent's neck and sucked hard, all the while keeping a rhythmic pressure against his cock. Brent's breath came in short gasps, and he raked his fingers down Cody's back as a moan escaped his lips.
Shit, you're hot, Cody muttered against his neck.
I want to suck you off. Is that okay?
Yeah,
Brent gasped out. He wanted it so badly, he didn't even think about what it meant. Brent lifted his head to watch as Cody kneeled between his legs, unzipped his jeans, then pulled them and his underwear down. Cody paused, glancing up at him.
Ready?
Yeah. When Cody wrapped his hand around him, Brent reeled. Jesus, he wasn't ready for it to be this hot.
Oh, fuck.
Your cock is perfect, Cody whispered, stroking it slowly. Brent panted and grabbed the sofa cushion, then bit back a groan when Cody slid his mouth over his cock. He'd been sucked off by women, and this shouldn't be so different, but it totally, undeniably was. The way Cody pinned him down by the hip and cupped his balls. The way he opened his mouth and took Brent in, swirling his tongue around the head. And God, the way he sucked him, holy fuck. Brent came in a sudden blinding rush, way sooner than he wanted to, not able to stifle a loud cry as he bucked into Cody's mouth.
Oh, God,
Brent whispered when it was over.
Sorry, I was so fast.
Was Cody's only response. Brent ran his fingers through Cody's hair while Cody pulled his mouth off and kissed Brent's stomach where his shirt had ridden up.
Thank you,
Brent said, then felt like a fool. But Cody laughed, looking pleased.
You're welcome.
When he moved to pull up Brent's underwear, Brent stopped him.
Wait, I'd like, well, how about we get naked and take this to the bedroom?
He felt his face flush, but he met Cody's gaze straight on. A slow smile spread over Cody's face.
You're amazing, he whispered.
He rid Brent of his underwear and pants, ran his hands up his legs, then leaned up and started to unbutton his plaid shirt, kissing each new expanse of skin as he uncovered it.
God, your skin is flawless.
He teased his tongue back and forth over Brent's nipples,
Brent lay back on the couch, overwhelmed. He'd never been this turned on. Or was it that he'd never been turned on quite like this? He didn't care. All he knew was he wanted more.
Chapter 8.
Come on, guys. Come in.
Bet beckoned to Cody and Aurora from the edge of the water, gentle waves rocking the Chesapeake Bay behind her.
In a few.
Aurora called and took a languid sip from her drink.
Ah, oh, that sun feels so good.
I know. I may go back to the house for another nap. I'm so relaxed. Cody tilted his head back on his beach chair and let the sun warm his face.
That's Cape Charles for you. Better than Ambien.
He gave her a lazy smile and closed his eyes. They'd been spending the Labor Day weekend at Cape Charles on Virginia's eastern shore for several years, ever since their friends, Dale and Andy, had opened a bed and breakfast a few blocks from the bay. Cody loved Cape Charles, with its tree-lined streets, Victorian houses, and small-town ambiance. Aurora's voice sounded next to him.
So how's your love life? You seeing anyone else from Match.com?
You mean besides Brent?
Yeah. You had a bunch of prospects, as I recall.
Nah. Me and Brent are concentrating on getting to know each other.
A month with the same person?
Wow.
This is your longest monogamous relationship since Eliza.
He opened his eyes and squinted at her.
What of it?
Oh, nothing. I thought when you decided to date men again, you were going to, you know.
She made a vague gesture. Hook up, sleep around, do what you think gay guys do. Aurora sat up straight.
No, not necessarily. Do what I think you do. You're the one who had three women on a string.
That's true, Cody conceded. They'd been nice, but he'd dropped them like hot potatoes when gorgeous Brent entered the picture. He'd been too busy initiating Brent into the magical world of gay sex.
I'm kind of intrigued, that's all.
Intrigued by what, sugar?
Bet stood in front of them, dripping and beautiful, in her turquoise bathing suit.
That was a short swim. By how Cody hasn't been with anyone else since he and Brent got together.
Bet sat down on the beach blanket and reached for her towel.
So is this serious? I mean, isn't Mr. Brent pretty straight?
He was, Cody smirked, thinking about all the sex acts he'd been teaching Brent and how responsive Brent had been, like a kid in a candy store.
Get your mind out of the gutter, boy.
Bet's voice snapped him back to the present.
Why? We're having a good time. Why are you guys in my case?
Aurora and Bet exchanged a glance.
We just don't want you getting hurt, Aurora said.
It's probably best not to fall for him, Bet said. In case after his experimentation, he goes back to being straight.
Geez, guys, I'm not falling for him.
Cody's phone buzzed, and he snatched it up. Brent, I gotta take this call. He rose from his beach chair with as much dignity as he could manage, given how the girls were cackling. Like witches.
You got it bad, boy, called Bet.
As he walked along the sand and said hello to Brent, Cody congratulated himself on being a grown-up and not flipping the bird at the two witches chortling on the beach blanket behind him.
Chapter 9.
Brent collapsed on the bed face first in a sweaty, satiated heap, feeling the burn as Cody slowly withdrew. He heard Cody whisper, "Be right back," and summoned up enough energy to grunt in response. Even though he and Cody had done a lot to prepare him for it, Brent had been afraid anal would hurt. It had at first, but once Cody found Brent's prostate, Brent shivered, reliving the amazing sensations Cody's cock hitting his sweet spot had set off. His orgasm had been intense.
Okay, I'm officially into gay sex.
Something warm and wet landed on his back.
What?
Washcloth, roll over. Cody launched himself on the bed and plucked the washcloth off Brent.
Ugh, wet spot.
Brent scooted over and let Cody clean him up.
Sorry about the sheets.
Cody laughed.
That's all you have to say after your first time bottoming?
It was good.
Man, I must be slipping.
I was aiming for fan-fucking-tabulous.
That too.
All right, you did. Great.
How you feeling?
Brent smiled at Cody's enthusiasm.
Okay, a little sore. Yeah, that's... Brent's cell phone buzzed with Daryl's name on the display. He picked it up and rolled away from Cody to answer.
Hey, dude.
What's up? We still on for tonight? Ari's coming around 7.
Sure, I'll pick up the pizzas.
Awesome. Boys' night in, poker and video games. See you in a few. Brent put down his phone and got out of bed.
Cody sat up with a puzzled expression.
Where you going? I thought I'd cook us some dinner.
Sorry, I can't tonight. I'm getting together with my brother and some friends. We play poker.
I like poker.
Cody gave him a winsome smile.
Just kidding.
Have fun with your brother.
Hey, want to take a shower together?
Brent followed Cody into the bathroom, appreciating Cody's laid-back approach to sex and everything else. They were getting together after work several times a week, but no one in Brent's life knew about it, and Brent was happy to keep it that way. While they were drying off, Cody asked, "What's tomorrow look like?"
"I'm booked."
Brent and Graham had fallen into spending Sundays together, especially since Hunter's travel schedule had gotten crazy. They usually went to galleries or a movie, and then to another of Graham's favorite restaurants. Graham, exuberant about getting to introduce Brent to every ethnic cuisine he could think of.
"Okay. I have rehearsal Monday. How about Tuesday?" "I've got that writing class."
"Wednesday? I've got my gig in Arlington. Can you come?"
Brent thought.
"Yeah, that should work. Cool. I'll finally get to hear you play."
Chapter 10. On Wednesday evening, Brent sat in his cubicle stuck for words. The magazine office had finally emptied of staff, for which Brent gave silent thanks. He had to finish this review so he could get to Cody's gig. He stared at the mural print on his cubicle wall, trying to conjure up some deathless prose about Buddy Guy and Johnny Lang. It shouldn't be this hard. Those guys kicked some serious blues guitar ass. But to find a fresh way of saying that was the challenge. Brent deleted half the paragraph he'd just written, then stopped at the sound of a raised voice coming from the direction of Graham's office. He hadn't realized Graham was still there. Brent frowned and got up to investigate because it sounded like Graham was yelling, and Brent had never heard Graham yell in the 2 years he'd worked for him. As he edged closer to Graham's office door, which stood slightly ajar, he overheard Graham say, "That's my point. No, no, Hunter, tell me where and I'll be there. Why not? The election isn't for another month and I fucking miss you." Brent scuttled back to his cubicle, wanting to give Graham privacy for his phone call with Hunter, who was in Michigan working on the re-election campaign. Deciding he could finish his article at the coffee shop, Brent packed up his computer. He'd stuck one arm through the sleeve of his jacket when he heard a door slam, and he hurried to put the other arm in and get out of there before Graham saw him. Graham's voice behind him told Brent he was too late.
"Oh, Brent, I didn't know anyone was still here."
Brent turned. Graham appeared his usual unruffled self, save for the tension in his jaw and the way his hair stood on end, like he'd been running his hands through it.
"Yeah, sorry, I was trying to get my Buddy Guy piece done before deadline."
Graham gave him a smile that failed to reach his eyes.
"Such a dedicated employee. Are you done?"
Not yet. I was going to go to the coffee shop and finish it there."
"Yes, good."
Graham nodded, but seemed distracted. He leaned over to look at the mural print.
"Mind if I tag along? I need a drink after the day I've had."
"Cool. But if you're after alcohol, let's go to Kramer Books. Not sure the coffee shop has a great selection." They left the office and headed for the elevator. As they waited, Graham directed a real smile at Brent.
"Hey, I appreciate you letting me come with you. I promise not to distract you from finishing your piece. I wouldn't be a good boss if I did that."
"Great. Unlikely, dude." Graham always distracted Brent, either astounding him with his brilliant insights or making him laugh at the hilarious things he said. It also didn't help that Graham was so handsome. Brent had a hard time keeping his eyes off him, and Brent's sexual explorations with Cody had only heightened his awareness of Graham's attractiveness. Not that Brent had any plans to do anything about it. Graham was his boss, and Graham and Hunter had been together for years.
"Hunter, is everything okay?" Brent asked, after they'd exited the elevator. Graham glanced at him. Okay. Pushing open the door to the street, Brent focused on the busy sidewalk rather than on Graham.
I mean with Hunter and you.
Oh,
you heard the yelling, then?
At Brent's nod, Graham said, sorry about that.
Don't apologize, I just... Is everything cool?
Graham stared straight ahead, hands jammed in his pockets. It's fine. Hunter and I are going through a rough time, but we'll get through it. We always do.
Brent made an assenting noise to cover his dark thoughts. Fucking Hunter.
He never seemed to be around. Okay, he had a reason right now with the elections coming up. But when Brent thought back to the office parties he'd attended over the last few years, Hunter had been a perpetual no-show. In fact, despite hearing about Graham's boyfriend, since Brent had started working at Washington Arts, Brent had never seen Hunter until he'd caught Graham kissing him through the car window 3 months ago. The guy couldn't be that busy. Graham deserved to be treated better. They settled at a table in Kramer Books and had an enjoyable evening. After Graham helped Brent complete the Buddy Guy piece, they celebrated with more wine for Graham, a beer for Brent, and some appetizers. Graham seemed to have shaken off his upset over Hunter and entertained Brent by acting out scenes from bad movies, causing Brent to laugh so hard he almost spit out his beer a few times. They'd been there for over an hour, talking and laughing, when Brent felt his phone vibrate. Brent stared at Cody's name in dismay. Crap, I totally forgot. He pressed the button to connect the call. Hey, sorry man, have you played? Aw, shit, I can't believe I missed it. I was finishing something for work and lost track of the time. I'm still in DuPont Circle.
It's cool, said Cody's voice in his ear.
Bet and Aurora came, and we're going out to eat now. Want me to come over later? Relieved that Cody wasn't upset, Brent said, sure. When he set the phone down, Graham raised his eyebrows.
Need to go?
No, a friend had a gig, but I missed it. Graham looked contrite.
Oh, that's too bad.
What can I say, man? You said you wouldn't distract me, but you so totally do.
Jeez Louise.
Brent felt his cheeks flame at how suggestive that sounded. Graham's cheeks grew slightly pink as well, but he seemed amused.
Mr. Granger, you say the funniest things.
He picked up his wine glass and took a sip. So tell me about what you've been writing lately.
Brent relaxed, leaned forward, and started talking about his latest poems, while Graham listened, avid interest in his light gray eyes.
Chapter 11. Brent shivered and zipped up his jacket walking from the metro to pick up Cody. The air had gotten nippy. He stared at the red and gold leaves interspersed among the green, outlined against the brilliant blue sky. He loved October in D.C. With the humidity gone, the whole city seemed to wake up and get moving again. The Saturday morning sunshine matched Brent's mood as he anticipated the fun weekend ahead. He and Cody were going to hang out all day. Then tomorrow, he and Graham were taking in a Hitchcock double feature at the East Street Cinema. Brent wasn't sure which he was looking forward to more. And he planned to be productive, too, and finish his current poem. He might even do more research on creative writing programs. When he pushed open the door to the graphic art studio, Bette looked up from her computer.
Brent, how are you, honey pie?
Great. You?
Fabulous.
You looking for your man?
Yeah. I'm looking for Cody. He's in the back.
She turned to yell.
Cody, get your butt out here. Brent's waiting.
Cody emerged from the back room with a wide smile on his face.
Hey there.
He walked over and made as if to kiss Brent on the lips, but Brent turned his head.
Ready?
Brent smiled to make up for his kiss-avoidant tactics.
Sure, let me get my bag.
Cody picked up his messenger bag and kissed Bette on the cheek.
See ya. You boys have fun now.
Bye, Bette.
Brent gave her a wave as they left the studio. They walked along the sidewalk, shoulders bumping.
Anything new?
Cody asked.
Nah, well, I'm looking into creative writing programs.
Cody stopped to stare at him.
So you're really going for it?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about what you said, you know. Jump in and the net will appear and all that, so what the hell? I'm jumping in. I'll figure out the rest of it later.
That's great, babe.
Cody hugged him right there on the sidewalk, and Brent didn't pull away this time. Which programs? Johns Hopkins and maybe UVA? He and Cody took the metro to Eastern Market and began to wander around the stalls. They were still talking about creative writing programs when someone bopped Brent's shoulder. Ari stood grinning at him, his girlfriend Lexi at his side.
"Hey, man," Ari said. "What's up? I haven't seen you after work in, like, ever."
"Hey, not much, just wandering around the market. What are you guys doing?"
"Same."
Lexi gave Brent a hug.
"Brent, I haven't seen you in so long. You look great. Life must be treating you well."
She smiled at Cody.
"Hi, I'm Lexi."
"Oh, sorry," Brent said, remembering his manners. "Ari and Lexi, this is Cody, a friend."
"Hello," said Cody, standing somewhat apart from Brent.
"Hi."
Ari gave Brent a playful nudge.
"You've been holding out on me, man. I thought I knew all your friends."
Brent glanced at Cody, whose bland expression gave him nothing to go on.
I met Cody when I was researching that Georgetown article. He's a musician.
So, what's new with you two?"
"Not much," Ari said. "We've been working on the house, but I told you that."
"We have to get together. Did Ari tell you I have a hot prospect for you?"
Lexi asked.
What?
Brent cut his eyes to Cody again, but he turned away and was checking out the wares on a nearby table.
"This girl is so sweet, Brent. She's 23, a music major, blonde. I think you'll love her."
Lexi frowned at Ari.
"You were supposed to tell him."
Ari pouted.
"How am I supposed to tell him anything when he's busy all the time and can't even come out for drinks anymore?"
"Hey, I still make poker nights at Daryl's.
Once a month."
"Anyway," Lexi continued, "when would be good for all of us to go out? She loves Thai food, too."
Brent had no clue what to say.
Cody still had his back to them, but Brent could tell he was listening to every word.
Give me a call and we can talk about it."
Brent made a show of consulting his phone.
"Oh, man, we have to be going. We have a thing in about half an hour."
"Thing?" Ari asked, wrinkling his brow. Cody turned to face them.
"What he means is we're going to a gig. My friend's band is playing tonight, and we've been invited to sit in on their rehearsal."
"Ah, well, have fun. See you at work, buddy."
Ari launched a fake punch at Brent's midregion. Lexi smiled at Cody.
"Nice to meet you. Brent, call with what days work for you, and we'll get something set up."
"Yeah. Okay. See ya."
Brent snuck a peek at Cody as Ari and Lexi walked away.
"Thanks for getting us out of that," he murmured.
"Sorry."
"For what?"
Face tight, Cody couldn't meet Brent's eyes. A first since they'd started seeing each other.
"Jesus. Way to fuck up, Granger."
"You know for what.
I guess I'm not ready for people to know."
"I get that, but I don't know if I'm ready to be back in the closet."
He started walking and Brent followed, feeling queasy.
"I don't know what to say."
Brent disliked the pleading note in his voice.
"Man up, asshole."
Cody stopped and met his gaze, arms folded.
"Well, I don't know either.
We're spending most of our time together, but you won't even kiss me in front of Bette, of all people. And you barely acknowledge me in front of your friends. I mean, I know this is your issue, not mine, but it feels pretty shitty to me."
Brent regarded Cody's troubled face, surprised. He hadn't realized Cody cared that much. Cody had always seemed so chill, willing to go at Brent's pace. He'd been a patient lover and a great teacher. Brent could hardly wait to get home most nights to receive another lesson. And Cody was a good friend, interested in Brent and his life, encouraging him in his writing. Brent felt like a real shithead in comparison. He reached for Cody's hand.
"Sorry, man. I should have thought about how this is for you."
Cody had recovered his easygoing expression.
"Oh, I'll be okay. Hey, better watch it. You're holding my hand in public."
He grinned at Brent. Brent's heart opened up.
"You're great. And patient."
"Oh, I've got a lot of patience, babe."
Cody leered at him, and Brent laughed.
"True."
They stood there, smiling at each other, as the wind picked up and a few golden leaves drifted down.
Chapter 12.
Man, Graham was in a shit mood today. I've never seen him snap at anyone before in a staff meeting.
Ari lounged on the extra chair in Brent's cubicle, waiting for him to finish up so they could go to lunch.
I know. I wonder what's wrong. I mean, it's hard to get the magazine out the week before Thanksgiving, but...
Cindy, the magazine's receptionist, stuck her head in and said in a loud whisper,
"He broke up with his boyfriend, or the other way around. And by the way he's been moping, I'd say it's the other way around."
Brent stared at her. "True facts?" She gave a solemn nod.
"Don't ask me how I know, but yeah, it's true. Stupid Hunter. What a jerk."
Like most of the magazine staff, Cindy was fiercely loyal to Graham.
Fuck.
Brent couldn't believe it. The elections had happened a few weeks ago. Hunter's congresswoman had been reelected, and Graham had been so happy anticipating Hunter's homecoming. After lunch, Brent walked to Graham's office. The door was uncharacteristically closed, so he knocked, trying to ignore the pounding of his heart. Graham opened the door, looking harried and impatient.
"Oh, Brent, come in."
As Brent walked in, Graham ran a hand through his hair, muttering,
"You're about the only one I can stand right now."
Brent felt a lump in his throat at those words.
"I wanted to see how you're doing."
"How I'm..." "Oh, news travels fast around here." Graham sat back down, shoulders slumped.
Tell me if I'm butting in, I'll go away."
"No, don't go, I..." "It's nice you're checking up on me, thanks." He studied his desk instead of Brent. Then he said in a low voice,
"It's hard, but I'm dealing."
Being this close to him, Brent noticed the circles under his eyes and felt a wave of anger at Hunter. He waited, but Graham didn't offer anything else.
"Well, let me know if you want to hang out or anything."
Graham gave a tight nod.
"Yeah, I'd like to do that. Sunday? Or will you be away for Thanksgiving?"
"No, I'm staying. Daryl and I have to go to the Sorensons for their fancy Thanksgiving soiree. Kill me now." Graham laughed.
"You'll survive."
"What about you? Are you going to be okay? I mean, do you have a place to go?"
"Of course. Mother is overjoyed I'm coming home to New York City for once. Don't worry about me."
"Okay. Well, see you Sunday." Brent walked toward the door. "Brent..." He stopped and turned around. "Thank you." Graham's mask slipped for a moment, and he bit his lip, appearing young and lost, before recovering his composure. Brent couldn't stand it. He clenched his fists as the words burst out of him.
"He's an asshole. Anyone who'd leave you is crazy."
Not wanting Graham to see the sudden moisture in his eyes, Brent got out of there and fled to his cubicle, wishing a painful death on Hunter for making Graham look like that. He threw himself on his chair and smashed the keys on his computer, pretending they were Hunter's face. Chapter 13. Christmas music floated in the air. Brent sat at his desk typing like a madman, trying to get his article finished before deadline. It didn't help that the noise in the office had been escalating steadily as the staff finished for the day and started getting ready to head out for their annual holiday party. Everyone was in a festive mood, so festive that some had started the party early, breaking open the booze and passing around a platter of Christmas cookies. Graham came sailing through, singing along to the music in an incredible voice. Of course he'd have a great voice, too, thought Brent. Unreal. Graham paused at Brent's cubicle.
"Still working? Hurry it up, Granger. Don't want you to miss the party."
Brent couldn't help but smile when he saw the holiday touches Graham had added to his outfit. His glittery Santa hat and neon reindeer tie made him look ridiculous, yet somehow glamorous in a way only Graham could pull off. He'd even put on eyeliner, which highlighted his striking eyes. Not that Brent was thinking about Graham's eyes. Much. Okay. Yes. Brent had to admit he loved Graham's eyes, as much as he loved Graham's outrageousness. It was good to see him in a better mood these days. "I'm hurrying if everyone would shut up and leave me alone." He paused, realizing he'd just told the boss to shut up, and laughed. Ari popped up from the other side.
"Wow,
Someone's feisty tonight. You must be getting some. You've been in a good mood for weeks.
Graham grinned. He does seem quite chipper these days, doesn't he? Who's the lucky girl?
Brent's face grew warm, and he kept his eyes on the computer screen, although he'd stopped typing.
No one you know. Now, can you let me finish this damn article?
Ari let out a whoop.
I knew it. Are you bringing her to the party?
No. Brent's hands grew clammy.
Come on, guys, leave me alone.
Yes, sir.
Graham gave him a mock salute and walked away, saying over his shoulder, See you later, then. Don't be late. Ari continued to stand there, regarding Brent with a shit-eating grin. In desperation, Brent turned to him.
Okay, I'll spill, but after I finish, so please go away for half an hour.
I'm out of here.
When Ari came back, the office was quiet, everyone else having left for the party. Even so, Brent stood and scanned the room before gesturing to Ari to join him in his cubicle.
So, who is she? Do I know her?
Ari beamed at him like an eager puppy.
You've met him once.
Brent waited, watching as Ari's face grew confused, then wondering. Him?
Are you telling me?
Brent nodded.
Holy shit, Brent. You're full of surprises. Wait.
I've met him?
It's not Graham, is it?
God, no. It's Cody, the guy I was with at Eastern Market.
Oh, wait. When Lexi was going on about setting you up?
Oh, God.
Ari guffawed.
That must have been awkward.
Yeah.
You're not freaked?
A little, man, but what the hell?
Whatever makes you happy, and you seem happy these days.
Gratitude surged through him for the way Ari was taking this.
I am. I'm glad you're not freaked. You're the first person I've told.
Really?
I'm honored, man.
So,
you bringing him tonight?
No. I don't think I'm ready for that yet. I'm only going for a little while.
Ari opened his mouth like he wanted to say something to that, but then shrugged.
Whatever. Come on before they drink all the booze.
Cody sprawled on the couch, playing guitar. Brent's apartment was still. He looked at the clock. 11:30 p.m. Giving the strings a sudden smash, he threw down the guitar and fumed. Brent had said he wasn't going to his work party for long. That was 4 hours ago.
Fuck this.
Cody grabbed his cell and pushed a speed dial number. Bet picked up on the second ring.
What's up, baby?
I didn't wake you?
Cody lay down, picking at a thread on the sofa cushion.
Nah, I'm reading. Aurora's asleep. What else is new?
But why are you calling me instead of getting it on with your man?
Because my man is at his company Christmas party and about 3 hours late getting home.
Ooh, someone's jealous.
I guess. Cody shifted to his side and stared at the mess of newspapers on the coffee table. I had an interesting visitor tonight.
Who?
Brent's brother, Daryl, came over? He wasn't reaching Brent on his cell, so he decided to pop in.
Jeez. What'd you tell him?
He still doesn't know about you guys, does he?
No. We've never even met. I made something up about being a friend from the magazine that I came over to work on Brent's computer.
Whatever. He didn't care.
So, what else?
You sound upset, baby.
Cody took in a breath and let it out, slowly.
Yeah.
He said he needed to reach Brent about the tux for the wedding, and to remind him that their parents are coming in on Thursday for the rehearsal dinner.
Bet made a surprised noise.
Wedding? Who? Daryl?
Apparently. Yeah, apparently. Brent's brother is getting married on New Year's Day. Brent is the best man, and Brent's parents are coming to town. And guess who knew nothing about any of this? Brent's boyfriend, who he's been sleeping with for the past 4 months. Cody's throat got tight. He took another deep breath, surprised at the amount of emotion welling up.
Oh, baby, that sucks.
Brent is such a love, but you knew going in this wasn't going to be easy.
Did I?
Cody didn't remember knowing anything of the sort. It had all been fun and games at the beginning, initiating a straight boy into the world of gay sex.
But you can't say we didn't warn you once we saw you were getting involved.
True. You guys tried to tell me in Cape Charles.
Right. I don't know, hon. Maybe he's just a bi-curious straight boy.
Maybe it doesn't go deep enough for him to overturn his life. She hastened to add, I don't mean you. I know he cares about you. I mean him being gay or bi or whatever he is. Cody heaved a sigh. Now I remember why I stay away from straight boys. But I think Brent's gay. He practically said so.
What'd he say?
He told me everything finally makes sense about his sexuality.
Wow. Well, okay. That sounds promising.
Yeah, but coming out is hard. I don't have a problem with him doing it on his own terms. It's just...
Wait, he's home. Thanks, sweetie. Love you. I'll call you tomorrow.
Love you too, baby. Hang in there.
Cody sat up and prepared to have it out with Brent. Brent heard Cody talking as he unlocked the door. It took him 2 tries, given all the alcohol he'd imbibed at the party. He'd had a great time, though, singing, drinking, and even dancing when Graham had pulled him onto the floor with a bunch of them.
Brent, unable to take his eyes off Graham's fabulous dance moves.
Yep, a great time. Such a great time that he'd been shocked when he'd checked his phone and realized he'd been at the party for 3 hours, rather than the hour he'd planned on. Thank God the Metro ran late on Friday nights. Pushing open the door, he stumbled in. Cody sat on the couch, his guitar next to him, and Brent eyed him, trying to figure out whether or not Cody was angry. He certainly wasn't saying anything.
Hey there. Sorry I'm late.
Brent wove his way to the couch.
Oh man, I'm drunk.
Pushing the guitar aside, he plopped down next to Cody and took his hand.
Have fun?
Cody's face was a polite mask, his hand unresponsive in Brent's. Brent gave a noncommittal grunt. A picture coming unbidden into his mind of him and Graham, leaning shoulder to shoulder, belting, We are the champions, with the karaoke machine. You had a visitor. Brent didn't miss the ice in Cody's voice this time, and tried to focus.
Huh?
Your brother came by. To remind you about the tux? And the rehearsal dinner? For his wedding? That you somehow failed to tell me about?
Oh, shit. He was too out of it to deal with this right now.
Sorry,
Yeah, we should talk about that. But I'm wasted.
Cody? Cody had risen without a word, grabbed his jacket and his keys, and headed for the door.
I'll be at my place.
The door slammed shut behind him.
Brent keeled over on the couch and watched the room spin.
After a few dizzy-making revolutions, he closed his eyes, deciding to think about it in the morning, and plunged into a drunken slumber.
Chapter 14. Brent, honey, what's the matter?
His mom stood over him as he slumped on the bench in the restaurant lobby.
You've been lower than an angleworm's belly all evening.
Brent's lips twitched at his mom's colorful analogy, spoken in her Kentucky drawl. But a sharp wave of guilt went through him. This wasn't fair. He hadn't seen his parents in a year. They were all together again for a happy occasion, and Brent was being an ass. He'd been an ass to Cody, who hadn't talked to him all week, and now he was being an ass to his family. Way to be an all-round loser. He straightened his back.
Mom, sit down.
His heart started beating so hard he felt lightheaded. This was it. He was about to come out to his mother in the lobby of a restaurant at his brother's rehearsal dinner. She sat, careful to smooth out the skirt on her expensive outfit, which made him feel even worse. It was hard enough for her and Dad to have to hobnob with the upper-crust East Coast Sorensons without Brent messing things up.
What's wrong?
She asked. Brent almost caved. She didn't need more crap added to her pile right now. Then he thought about Cody and Graham, and damn Mary Oliver and her damn question about his damn wild and precious life.
Ah, here goes.
You know when you asked whether there was anyone I wanted to bring to this dinner tonight?
Yes.
Well, there's someone I should have brought, and they aren't speaking to me because they think I'm ashamed of them. But I'm not. I'm ashamed of myself and the way I've been acting.
She put her hand on his shoulder.
Oh, honey, I had no idea. I haven't heard you talk of anyone lately but your friend Cody.
Oh. His mom was quicker than he gave her credit for. She turned so she was fully facing him and took his hand.
I want you to tell me the truth.
Brent's eyes stung. Cody is more than a friend to me. Her face got pale.
What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying. I'm gay. There. He'd said it out loud, and as he did, the truth of it filled him. He exhaled, feeling something let go inside, something he hadn't even known was clenched and tight. His mother was staring off into space.
Mom, I'll pray for you, son, she said, still not looking at him.
I don't want... It's a sin, according to the Bible. Do you really believe that? He tried to remove his hand from hers, but she held on tightly and turned her gaze back to his.
I don't know. I used to. Your dad's always been more easygoing on that stuff.
Shoot. It seemed like she was struggling not to cry, but her eyes filled.
It's not...
Mom, don't cry.
Brent watched her helplessly as visions of being forever estranged from his family loomed over his head.
Wait.
She released his hand and wiped under each eye, muttering,
Damn eyeliner. Okay, just let me say this.
She took a breath. You're my son, and I love you. I've always wanted the best for you and for life to give you what you want.
If this is what you want, then I support you.
Brent blinked back his own tears.
It's not what I want. It's who I am.
She pulled him into a hug, crying freely, and whispered,
Okay, honey, okay.
They stayed that way for a long time, holding on. When they broke apart, Brent wiped his eyes.
Thanks, Mama. I've got to go make a call.
Chapter 15. Brent stood on the small stage in the hotel ballroom, warm in his tuxedo, reading a poem out loud. A few hours before, at a candlelit ceremony in the Washington Cathedral, Daryl and Melinda had delivered their vows to each other in front of the Episcopal priest and several hundred guests. Brent had surprised himself by getting teary-eyed at the loving wonder on his brother's face as he'd gazed at his bride. They'd all repaired to a swanky hotel for the reception. After the multi-course dinner came champagne and toasts. This time, Brent had prepared for his toast by writing a poem for Daryl and Melinda. A hush fell over the room as Brent read words that spoke of love and hope and healing. When he finished, there was a silence, followed by much applause. Melinda ran to him and hugged him, tears in her eyes, while Daryl threw his arm around him. Brent finally broke away, scanning the room until he found Cody, leaning against a wall in his borrowed suit, smiling at him. Brent brightened. His invitation to Cody last night had been so last minute, Cody had needed to rearrange his schedule, and Brent hadn't been sure he'd be able to make it. Brent waded through the crowd, being stopped every few feet by someone else who exclaimed about his poem, until he reached him. He took Cody's hand, relishing the surprise that crossed his face.
Come on, Brent said. There's some people I want you to meet.
They walked through the room hand in hand, Brent feeling his heart beating fast and his cheeks flush. When a few people stared, Brent told himself to get used to it. There'd be a lot more where that came from. He saw his parents and the newlyweds standing in a group that included Mr. and Mrs. Sorensen and Ari and Lexi, and steered Cody over to them. Everyone stopped talking as they approached, but Brent felt better when he noted Ari's huge grin.
Hey, Brent. Hey, Cody.
Ari practically danced a jig. He looked so pleased.
Everyone, I want to introduce you to Cody Bellstrom, my boyfriend.
Lexi smiled warmly and came over to give them both hugs.
Nice to see you again, Cody. We need to all get together soon.
Brent caught his father's eye, and
was he smirking?
He raised his eyebrow and nodded at Brent, then walked over and offered Cody his hand.
Bert Granger, Brent's dad. Nice to meet you.
Thanks,
Cody said, appearing flustered.
You too.
When Mom joined them, Brent was the one getting flustered, but she was the epitome of graciousness as she held out her hand.
Cody, hello. I'm Carrie, Brent's mom. That's an interesting name, Bellstrom. What's the origin?
Dad laughed. Carrie's not giving you some strange third degree. She's a genealogy nut. Consider yourself forewarned. While his parents grilled Cody, Brent looked around for Daryl, because he was the one Brent was most worried about. He saw him talking with Melinda, their heads bent close. Then Melinda straightened up and approached Brent with a big smile. She was holding Daryl's hand and seemed to be dragging him with her.
You big sneak.
Melinda bopped Brent on the arm.
How long has this been going on?
A while. Since summer. Brent ventured a glance at Daryl, who still looked like he'd seen a ghost.
And to think I've been wasting my time finding women for you to date.
She turned to Daryl.
Well, hon, don't you have anything to say to your brother?
Yeah. You're a jerk for hiding this from us. As far as the gay thing, whatever floats your boat, man. I'm still better at Halo 3, lame ass.
Are you kidding? I beat your ass so bad the last time.
Language, boys. Mom waved a disapproving finger. Daryl and Brent smiled guiltily at each other. And Brent felt everything return to normal, except for the fact that he was standing next to his boyfriend, who was slipping his hand into Brent's. So, okay. The new normal. Chapter 16. After introducing Cody to his family, and living to tell the tale, Brent left Cody talking to Mrs. Sorensen, who was asking him all about his music, and went out on the enclosed veranda to enjoy a moment to himself. He gazed at the monuments that framed the D.C. skyline, still high from being acknowledged by so many people for his poetry, and being acknowledged as a gay man. Brent laughed, thinking of Daryl's shock, his dad's knowing look, and the nonchalance of the Sorensens when he'd said Cody was his boyfriend.
Brent Granger, as I live and breathe.
The familiar voice behind him gave him a start. He turned his head and Graham stood there with a smile on his face, elegant and impossibly handsome, in a dashing tuxedo. Brent broke into a grin, happy at the sight of him.
Graham, I didn't see you earlier. Wow, you look...
He stopped, reminding himself Graham was still his boss. His boss, who knew nothing of his newly declared sexuality. Graham gave Brent the once-over and whistled, ogling him openly.
You too, turn around. I want to see the full effect of this tux.
Amused, Brent did a 360. So much for appropriateness with the boss.
Nice, Graham said when Brent faced him again. I had a meeting I couldn't get out of, so I got here late. I was in time for your poem, though.
He cleared his throat, then said in a lower voice,
You're a fucking incredible poet. I had no idea. Writing is so the right path for you.
Warmed by the way Graham was staring at him, Brent stepped forward without thinking, and then Graham took his hand. An electric charge coursed through Brent's body, knocking the breath out of him. He froze, mesmerized by the heat of Graham's touch and the emotion in his eyes. Graham leaned closer. Their connection was so strong, Brent couldn't break away, didn't even think of it. Then Graham looked down at their joined hands, gave a start, and let go with a pained expression.
I'm sorry, Brent. That was inappropriate. I just want you to know, well, I think you're special in a lot of ways.
He cleared his throat again.
Some woman is going to be lucky to have you.
Brent's face grew hot, and it wasn't even about the some woman reference, although he was past due at letting Graham in on his sexual orientation. No, it was the admiration he saw in Graham's eyes, and the warmth he could still feel from Graham taking his hand.
No, you're the one who's special. You're like the most amazing person I know.
Seeing surprise and a hint of vulnerability cross Graham's face, Brent suddenly got on a roll.
I mean it, man. You rock so much in how you run the magazine. You're a great manager. You're great with people. And you're so freaking talented. And you're hilarious, too. It's like a party being around you.
Wow. Undeterred by Graham's interruption, Brent continued.
And the other thing is how you live your life. Like you're not afraid to be you. You don't care what people think. And that's so cool. I think... I think I'm finally getting more that way, and it's because of you.
Brent clapped his hand over his mouth. Then he laughed.
Oh, gee, sorry. I'll stop now.
No. Graham wore a soft expression, softer than Brent had ever seen on him.
I really appreciate you saying all of that.
Someone opened the door to the veranda and poked their head out. It was Cody.
There you are.
Cody beamed at Brent and came to join them.
Your mom is looking for you.
Okay. Brent managed, confused by how much he resented Cody's interruption at that precise moment.
Well, hell.
He hadn't envisioned coming out to Graham like this, especially not after what had just happened between them, but he couldn't change it now. He squared his shoulders and took Cody's hand.
Graham, this is my boyfriend, Cody. Cody, this is my boss, Graham.
Graham stared at their hands, then at Brent, shock crossing his face, along with another emotion Brent couldn't quite interpret, but it left him feeling awful.
They'd been so connected a moment ago, and now...
Brent averted his eyes. Cody, oblivious, nodded to Graham.
Nice to meet you. I love Washington Arts. And from what Brent tells me, you're the main reason for it being as good as it is.
Graham smoothed his features into his most sociable mask and smiled charmingly at Cody, while putting his hand on Brent's shoulder, digging his fingers in.
No. It's my great staff who make the magazine what it is. I'm lucky to have people as brilliant as Brent.
He let go of Brent and dropped his hand to his side. Brent gave a weak nod. Sure, his face was a permanent shade of red.
Thanks.
Well, I gotta go see what Mom needs.
Fine, Graham said, mask firmly in place.
See you Monday.
Cody, good to meet you.
You too.
As Brent walked into the ballroom with Cody, he ventured a glance back at the veranda, where Graham remained all alone, a dark silhouette against the lit-up monuments.
Chapter 17. One frigid Friday night in late January, Ari stood, pulled on his jacket, and gave Brent a wave.
Later, guy. Don't work too late.
Hey, wait, Brent called. I'm coming with you.
Ari turned, face full of disbelief.
You? Brent Granger? Coming to office karaoke night?
Yeah. What of it?
Brent shut down his laptop and put on his coat.
Maybe the fact you've never come to one karaoke night in the 2 years you've worked here?
Brent shrugged as he fell in beside Ari, and they walked to the elevator.
Cody's a singer, and when he heard about it, he wanted to come.
Oh, I see.
Ari's eyes twinkled.
This guy is already changing you for the better. Wait till Graham finds out you're coming. He'll be jazzed.
Graham? Brent didn't like the way his heart skipped a beat.
Does he go?
Duh, bro. Ari punched the elevator button. He's the one who started office karaoke. You've heard him sing.
No one wants to get up there after he's done, but he makes us.
Oh, yeah, right,
Brent said, remembering Graham singing in his amazing tenor voice at the Christmas party, and Brent singing right along with him. He must have been pretty drunk not to have been intimidated by Graham's talent. Brent followed Ari out of the elevator and through the lobby with mixed feelings. He was glad to be no longer hiding his relationship with Cody. They'd had fun last weekend going to the Thai restaurant with Ari and Lexi, and Daryl and Melinda had insisted they come over for dinner every week. Bette and Aurora had also made much of them and dragged them out to gay clubs, and Brent had enjoyed the hell out of the drag shows. After much persuading by Aurora, he'd even gotten out on the dance floor. Overall, Brent felt good about owning who he was, a gay man. Graham was another story. Brent couldn't put a finger on it, but things had been different since the wedding and their talk on the hotel veranda. Although Graham treated him the same as always at work, he'd stopped inviting Brent to hang out on the weekend. That might not have been intentional, since it had only been a month. Graham may have been busy, but Brent couldn't stop thinking about that charged moment between them, interrupted by Cody, and couldn't forget the flash of shock in Graham's eyes. He wondered if Graham was avoiding him. His ponderings about Graham ended as they neared the club, where Cody and Lexi stood on the sidewalk waiting for them. When Cody caught sight of him,
He broke into a big smile and strode over. "Hey, babe." Cody leaned down to give Brent a kiss, which Brent accepted with only a mild inward squirm. He wasn't entirely comfortable with public affection yet, but he'd gotten better at allowing it. Ari groaned. "Come on, you lovebirds, enough with the PDA. I don't want Lexi getting ideas." He ducked the swat Lexi aimed at him, and they all entered the club. Inside, Brent came to a sudden stop. Graham was up front under the spotlight, singing. He looked sexy and dramatic, but it was his voice that captivated Brent. Something about it reached into Brent's soul and made him restless, like he should be out climbing a mountain or taking a fearless stand, like he should be doing something more with his wild and precious life. Cody seemed as taken as Brent was, pausing beside him and listening until Graham reached the end of the song. "Whoa, that motherfucker's got some pipes." Cody joined in the applause. "Has he ever sung professionally?"
"I don't know," Brent said, coming out of the daze that Graham's incredible voice had put him in.
"He should. Let's go get a drink." As they walked to the bar, Cody paused. "Hey, did you get your applications in?"
"Yep."
Brent had promised Cody he'd finish and send his applications to Johns Hopkins and UVA for their MFA programs in writing. Cody's face lit up. "Great, babe. You're going to graduate school." Brent laughed. "If I'm accepted."
"You will be."
The next day, Brent bit the bullet and called Graham. Graham had been perfectly pleasant to him and Cody at karaoke, had joked around with them and even sung a duet with Cody. But when Brent had asked him what his plans were for the weekend, Graham had changed the subject. "Fuck this," Brent thought as he punched in Graham's number.
"Hey, Brent."
"Hi. What's up?"
Not much. I wondered if you wanted to hang out tomorrow.
That new exhibit at the Corcoran sounds cool." The pause that ensued caused Brent's stomach to sink. Graham finally said,
"I don't think it's a good idea for us to spend so much time together outside of work."
"What?"
"I've enjoyed our friendship, but I'm still your boss, and I need to keep some space between us to be professional."
"Oh." Brent didn't have a clue how to respond to that.
"The thing is," Graham said in a lower voice, "I like you a lot, probably too much. And when I thought you were straight, that was a pretty good boundary. But now, ever since I found out about you and Cody, I have a million questions and a whole lot I'd love to talk to you about. But I'm not going to go there. I can't."
He fell silent, but Brent didn't feel capable of replying.
"He likes me? A lot?"
"I need to keep it this way for now," Graham continued. "I hope you understand." Despite the thrill that went through Brent when Graham confessed he liked him, his primary emotion was loss. He realized, in that moment, how important Graham had become. He'd slowly moved from boss to casual friend to best friend in Brent's life. Even worse, Brent knew with sudden clarity that what he felt for Graham was way beyond friendship. Graham had managed to take up residence in Brent's heart in a way that Cody never had, and now he was saying goodbye? But all Brent said was, "Okay, I'll miss hanging out with you," and hung up when he felt tears in his eyes, not wanting to make a fool of himself.
Chapter 18. Winter sucked. Take February. February was a complete drag. The holidays were over, gray, freezing weather frosted the windows, and spring was eons away. It kept fucking snowing, too. Wrapped in a comforter, Brent lay on his living room couch and brooded as the TV made noises in the background. Cody puttered around, but they didn't talk. They'd had another fight. Brent couldn't even remember what about, but he suspected it was his fault. Cody had been nothing but great to him, patient and supportive. But after the initial glow of coming out as a public couple, Brent felt stifled at Cody being around so much. He wanted time to work on his writing, without him always underfoot. He kept getting irritable and then felt guilty for snapping at him. Brent sighed and pulled the comforter tighter around him, now moping about Graham. "Don't think about him," he told himself.
But it was hard not to. He missed him. Damn him and his professional boundaries. Brent was jolted back to the present by the sound of Cody in the bedroom talking on the phone. He'd been doing that a lot lately. Brent felt a pang remembering the excitement of coming home to Cody every night for another education session, with Cody declaring Brent an excellent pupil in the mysteries of gay sex. They hadn't had sex in over a week. Silence fell in the other room as Brent stared, zombie-like, at the TV, followed by the sound of rustling and drawers being opened, then banged shut. After a few minutes, Cody emerged with a duffel bag in his hand. Brent sat up, raising his eyebrows in a question. Coming over to the couch, Cody set his duffel bag on the floor, sat down beside Brent, and took his hand. He gazed at Brent with his familiar sweet expression and heaved a sudden sigh. "It's hard for me to say this because I'm mad about you, but this isn't working." Brent's stomach dropped, and he stiffened, clutching Cody's arm. "What?" Cody stroked his hand. "You don't really want this."
"Yes, I do."
"No, babe. This has been a good experience for both of us. I've loved being with you, but I think it's time to move on."
"No, it's good between us. You can't say it hasn't been good."
Wincing at the pleading in his voice, Brent nevertheless continued to clutch Cody's arm, as if he could keep him there by physical force.
"I just said it's been good. It's been great. You're hot and talented and a really special person, but you're not in love with me."
It was a statement, not a question. Cody was good at those.
"So what? We haven't been together that long. I mean, these things take time."
Brent trailed off, because even he could hear the lack of conviction in his voice.
"I don't think time is what's missing here. It's okay, I'm not in love with you either. I think we've gotten a lot out of being with each other, but don't go, please."
A part of Brent was watching himself beg with disgust, especially since he was the one who'd been chafing at too much togetherness. He raised his eyes to Cody, his teacher.
"God, why am I so fucking panicked?"
Cody's expression softened.
"Oh, hon." He put his hand on Brent's cheek. "This has been major for you. You came out, for God's sake, and got yourself into a whole new life. No wonder you're freaking."
Brent closed his eyes and turned his face into Cody's hand, kissing his palm.
"Right," he whispered.
"Right.
You rock,"
Cody continued.
"But we're not it for each other. I think we were meant to come together and learn from each other. I've learned a lot from you about writing and discipline and living life with integrity."
Brent squirmed.
"Jeez. It's true. You want more? The sex has been fantastic."
Cody put on a playful leer, and Brent gave him a small smile in return.
"So sure. We could continue on as fuck buddies, but I don't think that's what you're looking for."
"No, I guess not." Defeated, Brent laid his head on Cody's shoulder. Cody stroked his hair, then rested his hand on Brent's knee.
"You're looking to be in love. You're a loyal, one-man kind of guy, and someone's going to be lucky to have you."
Brent took a shuddery breath, remembering Graham saying almost the exact same words. He shook his head to clear his mind and met Cody's warm eyes.
"I'll miss you," he said, then closed his mouth because he didn't want to cry.
"I'll miss you too." They sat there for a long time, Cody's hand on Brent's knee, Brent's head on his shoulder. Brent officially hated February. Chapter 19. Brent trudged along the slushy March sidewalk, making his slow way to the metro and home for the evening. He glanced over at Kramer Books and stopped. It shone like a beacon, all lit up and cozy in the fading winter twilight. He pushed open the door, taking in the welcome sight of rows and rows of books. His gaze fell on the poetry section, and of course Mary Oliver's name jumped out at him. He heard her voice, or what he imagined it to be, given he'd never heard her actual voice.
"Wild and precious life, huh? How's that going, Brent?"
Brent's life hadn't exactly been wild or precious lately. He'd turned into a hermit, hiding out at home and licking his wounds over his double dumping by Cody as a boyfriend and by Graham as a friend. Shut up, he told his self-pitying self. But as he walked into the Afterwards Cafe, memories rose up of the night he'd first met Cody, and the time he and Graham had finished his Buddy Guy piece and laughed their asses off. Brent had been so alive back then. What happened? His phone buzzed as he settled at a table. Ari. Thank God for Ari and Daryl. They'd ganged up on him and kept him from becoming a total recluse. When he refused their invitations to go out, they showed up at his place with pizza, beer, and the latest video games. He let Ari's call go to voicemail and ordered a cup of coffee. Then he noticed a gay couple at the next table holding hands and smiling at each other. Okay, Brent told himself. Enough of this shit. I need to write. He pulled out a small notebook and a pen and started putting words on the page. The first several attempts were utter dreck, but he crossed them out and kept going, even though it felt like he was pushing a large boulder uphill. At some point, words began to flow, and he was in the zone. 2 hours later, Brent left Kramer Books, feeling peaceful and accomplished. When he got home and opened his mailbox, an envelope was waiting from Johns Hopkins University, like a sign from the universe. Brent opened it right there, in the apartment building lobby, and smiled, having just gotten his answer to what he was going to do next with his one wild and precious life. Chapter 20. A month later, Brent sat in his cubicle, steeling himself to have the conversation he needed to have with Graham. Ari popped his head over the divider. Yo, what's new? You still want to hang with me and Lexi on Saturday? Probably. I need to find out when my orientation is for the summer session. Wow, that's coming up fast. Have you told Graham yet? Shh. Keep your voice down. I'm just about to. Brent cast a nervous glance at Graham's office. Good luck, man. He's not gonna like it, but he'll deal. Let me know about Saturday. Ari disappeared behind the divider. Brent stared out the window for a moment. It was finally spring, his other favorite season in D.C. The cherry blossoms were out, the air was soft and warm, and everything seemed new again. As he looked at the pale green leaves on the trees, he felt a surge of hope. It had been a long slog since February. Work had been absorbing, which helped. Graham continued to be a demanding editor-in-chief, treating him no differently at work than he ever had. But Brent missed him on the weekends. So much some days, he thought he'd go crazy. He'd picked up the phone to call him many times, but talked himself out of it, remembering what Graham had said about professional boundaries. Not wanting to think about that now, Brent tore his gaze from the window, studied the colorful mural print, then busied himself, shutting down his computer for the day. Gathering his courage, Brent got up, went to the open door of Graham's office, and peeked in. Graham was tilted back in his big chair with his long legs propped up on the desk, reading a draft. He had on his Friday casual clothes, which for Graham meant boots, black jeans, shirt with the cuffs rolled up, and skinny tie. When Brent knocked on the doorframe, Graham peered over his draft, then took his feet off the desk and turned to face him. Brent, come on in. Brent hesitated. Can I shut the door? Sure. What's up? Graham scooted some files off the chair next to his desk. Here, sit down. Brent sat, trying to control his nerves, struck anew at how beautiful Graham was up close. Damn. That wasn't what he was supposed to be thinking about. He twisted his hands together and launched in. This is kind of hard. I'm here to say I'm going to be resigning my position with the magazine. Graham looked like he'd been struck. Come again? I'm quitting. But why? I mean, Brent, I hope this isn't due to anything I've done in the past to make you uncomfortable. That was inappropriate, and I recognize that. No. Brent interrupted, wanting to save Graham from going any further down that path. Not at all. I love my job, and you're a great boss. But I want to pursue my writing. I've been accepted at Johns Hopkins into their MFA program. I'm starting this summer, so I won't have time for a full-time job. Graham's face lit up, and he gripped Brent's arm. But
That's fantastic. I'm so happy for you.
Brent blushed, feeling the heat from Graham's touch spread all the way through his body.
Thanks.
Tell me more about this program, Graham said, sitting back and letting go of Brent's arm. Unbelievably relieved to be talking to Graham like old times, Brent described the program in detail, spurred on by Graham's many questions, and got excited all over again. Graham beamed as Brent finished explaining the courses he'd be taking over the summer.
Wonderful, Graham said. So what does your boyfriend think about all this?
Brent shifted, embarrassed. I thought you knew. I don't have a boyfriend anymore. I mean, that's been over for a while now.
Oh.
I hadn't heard. Graham hesitated. But you discovered you're gay, or what? He winced.
Oh, Jesus, excuse me, you don't have to answer.
Yes, I'm gay, definitely. I came out to my family, even.
Oh, well then.
Graham ran his hand through his hair, and it looked to Brent's disbelieving eyes like he was blushing. He stared, fascinated. He'd never seen Graham flustered before.
Oh, hell, Graham muttered.
He leaned forward and adopted a formal air. Then, Brent Granger, on behalf of Washington Arts, I accept your resignation, but only on one condition.
One condition?
Yes. Graham's smile held the full force of his charm. You let me take you out for a drink to celebrate.
You want to take me?
Brent shut his mouth, which was hanging open stupidly, then opened it to say,
Sure. I mean, I'd really like that.
He couldn't keep the big, goofy grin off his face, but he didn't mind, because it matched the one on Graham's. Chapter 21. 2 weeks later, Brent walked into a dimly lit, very ritzy hotel bar, Graham at his side. He couldn't believe this was his life, starting a creative writing program and going out on a date with the most incredible man Brent knew. Graham had been scrupulous about delaying the date until after Brent's last day at the magazine, saying, I've been maintaining proper boss-employee relations all this time. Well, kind of. And I can hold off 2 more weeks. Brent's last day at work had finally come. And here they were. Graham nodded familiarly to the doorman and the hostess, and a few of the well-dressed patrons greeted him as they were escorted to a small table. Brent followed, so out of his element that he almost wished he were anywhere else but there. But then Graham turned and held out his hand. Brent took it and, boom, he was walking on a cloud, light and powerful, his body buzzing with adrenaline. The bar had sofas and plush armchairs arranged around low tables. Soft jazz played in the background as Graham steered him over to a love seat, and they sat down, Brent's heart racing with his proximity to Graham, with how much he wanted him, and how surreal it was to be here with him. They ordered drinks, and Graham chatted with the waiter, who also seemed to know him. Once the waiter departed, Graham turned to Brent and captured his hand again, alone at last. Although his smile was easy, his gray eyes were intense as his hand tightened on Brent's. Brent nodded, speechless. Is this okay? Graham asked softly, a hint of uncertainty washing over his features. That got Brent talking.
God, yes, thanks for taking me out to celebrate me leaving you high and dry at the magazine. That's big of you, man.
He smiled, impishly.
Graham relaxed, chuckling. Oh, I'd say it's a fair trade. In fact, more than fair.
He paused as the waiter served their drinks. Then he picked up his glass and a toast. Here's to you, Brent, for following your dreams and creating a life of adventure. They took a sip, and then Brent lifted his. And here's to you, Graham, for being the most kick-ass boss I've ever had. Graham took a laughing bow, and they sipped. Graham raised his glass once again. And here's to you for being brilliant, talented, and brave.
Wow. Okay.
Brent lifted his glass. And here's to you for being amazing, outrageous, and beautiful. He was distracted from his surprise at his own boldness by the stark desire on Graham's face. And here's to you, Graham said in a husky voice, for being so goddamn gorgeous that I haven't been able to get you off my mind since, oh, probably the first time I saw you. Brent forgot to sip, as he drowned in Graham's eyes. Graham took Brent's free hand, brought it to his lips, and kissed the knuckles one by one, then turned it over and pressed his mouth to Brent's palm. Brent let out a shaky sigh, noticing Graham's insanely long eyelashes, feeling his warm lips against his skin. Graham raised his eyes and glanced around as if he'd forgotten where he was.
How about we go somewhere a little more private?
Yeah. Okay. Brent cleared his throat, then downed the rest of his drink in two gulps, while Graham signaled for the check. After paying, Graham held out his hand to Brent, who scrambled off the sofa and weaved his way between the tables and out into the soft spring evening. They walked down the block, Brent in a haze of joyful disbelief, until Graham looked to his right and suddenly pulled Brent a short way down an alley alongside the hotel. The smell of honeysuckle wafted in, mingling with soft breezes and sweet desire.
"I'm sorry," Graham whispered,
easing Brent gently against the hotel wall. "I envisioned this being in a more romantic setting, but I've been waiting to do this for about 2 years now. May I kiss you?"
"God, yes."
Graham bent, eyes so serious Brent had to close his, and pressed his mouth to Brent's. One gentle push. Brent trembled, feeling Graham's fingers on the back of his neck, Graham's thumb caressing his throat. And then he tried not to die as Graham ran his tongue over Brent's bottom lip and teased his mouth open. Graham's lips were full and warm. His tongue moved sinuously in Brent's mouth and, holy fuck, it was already the best kiss Brent had ever had. When Graham pulled away with a gasp, Brent opened his eyes. Graham stared down at him, mouth wet, hair falling in his face. Brent had never seen anything sexier in his life. Adding to the electricity of the moment was the way Graham was gazing at him, like Brent was the second coming or something.
"I want to take you home with me," Graham whispered. "I want you to want this as much as I do. I can't believe how you're making me feel right now."
How Brent was making him feel? Jesus Christ, Brent could barely handle the feelings Graham had set off in him. Lust, of course, but even more, gratitude at how open and emotional Graham was being. The only other time he'd seen him so unguarded was on the veranda at Daryl's wedding, when Brent had told him how amazing he was. And then Cody had walked out and everything had changed. Brent was so happy he had another chance to show Graham what he meant to him. It made him want to cry or to take Graham home and cherish him.
"God, I've never wanted anyone as much as I want you."
Brent put his hand to Graham's cheek and ran his thumb over his lips.
"Holy shit, you're beautiful."
Brent couldn't believe the words coming out of his mouth, but for once, he didn't care. He felt reckless and alive. Graham shut his eyes and smiled against Brent's thumb, then gave it a quick nip before pulling away with a laugh. "We better get going before I ravish you against this wall." They walked out of the alley. Graham paused, and when Brent turned to see why, he smiled and lifted his eyebrow.
"I never thought I'd say this to a prized employee," Graham said, a twinkle in his eye. "But thank you so goddamn much for quitting the magazine."
Brent laughed with pure joy.
"You're welcome, man. Anytime."
Chapter 22. Graham unlocked the door and swung it open, flipping on a light, and Brent gaped at his spacious, elegant apartment. A huge bookshelf filled with books, small art objects, and framed photographs graced one of the walls. Oriental rugs ran along the hardwood floors to a set of steps that led down into a sunken living room, where a grand piano stood, silhouetted against the floor-to-ceiling windows that showed the twinkling lights of the city and the Capitol Dome.
"Come on in and make yourself at home while I get us a drink."
Graham moved over to a sleek, black cabinet, on which stood some liquor bottles and crystal glasses.
"Wow, this is really cool."
Brent walked to the bookshelf and checked out the books, then turned and surveyed the apartment.
"Talk about interior decorating. This is beautiful, Graham.
It looks like you." Graham smiled as he switched on the stereo.
"Thanks. Glad you like it. Let's go sit in the living room."
Once they were settled on the leather sofa, Graham handed him a snifter of brandy.
Now, where were we? I think we were toasting each other when I got very distracted. Ah,
right. He lifted his glass. Here's to you, Brent Granger, for getting mad at Hunter when he broke up with me and saying anyone who'd leave me was crazy.
Brent groaned.
You remember that?
Well, it's true.
He sipped obediently.
Okay, let me think.
Ah, yes. He raised his glass. Here's to you, Graham Stoneford, for telling me that everyone deserves to have love in their life and that I was going to find it. Feeling a prickling in his eyes, Brent clamped his mouth shut against the sudden urge to cry. Graham's expression changed from playful to serious. After putting his snifter on the table, he reached for Brent's glass and did the same. Then he took a deep breath, cradled Brent's face in his hands, and gazed at him.
You do deserve that, he whispered. And so do I.
Overwhelmed, Brent almost broke down and started bawling for real. Then Graham kissed him, really kissed him, and Jesus. If Brent had thought locking lips with Cody for the first time was hot, how Graham was kissing him right now was un-fucking-believable. Passionate, ardent, all in. Graham Stoneford did not hold back, and every nerve ending in Brent's body came to life and started singing. Graham drove him into a happy insanity as he explored Brent's mouth and then laid kisses all over his face, in between whispering endearments and telling Brent how beautiful he was.
My God, Brent thought. I love him. Am I crazy?
Graham pulled back to smile at him, gray eyes shining. You gorgeous creature. All I want is to kiss you and love you and make you feel amazing, and then tuck you in and keep you here forever. He laughed. I should warn you, I'm a huge romantic and totally emotional, and I have even less of a filter in private. Brent pulled Graham to him and kissed him back. Thank God you have no filter, because I was just wondering if I'm crazy. You said it better than me. So is it okay to say ditto?
Yes, as long as you keep kissing me like that.
Brent had no idea how much time they sat pressed together on the sofa, kissing, then breaking apart to gasp for breath or laugh or pick up their snifters for another silly toast, only to fall back into kissing. They took a rest when Brent's stomach growled loudly, and they realized they hadn't eaten dinner. Graham brought out what he called something Mediterranean, olives, feta cheese, flatbread, figs, and dates, and insisted on feeding Brent in between kisses. Brent fed Graham in turn, loving the sensual feel of Graham's mouth closing over his fingers. They ended up sitting on the floor, giving each other the last few figs. Graham took one, pulled it apart, and stared at Brent with his eyebrow arched seductively, while he ran his tongue from one end to the other. Brent met his gaze, struggling to keep a straight face, then laughed. That made Graham laugh, too, and soon they were laughing so hard they fell flat on their backs. Graham rolled into Brent as they howled, their bodies shaking against each other.
Oh, God, wheezed Graham. I don't even know what's so funny.
He stopped suddenly and hauled Brent closer, Brent gasping when he felt Graham's cock, hard and huge, pressing against his.
Oh, fuck, Brent whispered. You feel amazing.
He put a hand on Graham's hip and pulled him in tight.
I want you so bad, Brent.
Graham ground against him.
I want to. Is it okay?
He asked as he reached for Brent's shirt.
Jesus, yes.
Brent sat up and tore off his shirt while Graham unbuckled his belt, and then it turned into a frantic scramble to get out of their clothes.
Oh, oh my fucking God, look at you.
Graham breathed once they were naked. He ran his hands over Brent's shoulders and down his sides.
You are perfection.
Brent's face warmed, but he was too busy ogling Graham's body to get embarrassed.
Talk about beautiful.
He couldn't take his eyes off Graham's cock.
My God, that is, impressive.
Graham smiled. Come here. I want to feel you. He gathered Brent into his arms and held him, stroking his hair, his back, his ass. Brent sighed at the pleasure of being encircled by Graham's much larger, warm body. He could feel Graham's cock pressing against his hip, his own trapped, hard and insistent between their bodies. He breathed in Graham's scent, Dior Homme and figs, and pressed his face into the crook of Graham's shoulder, running his tongue over his skin, tasting faintly of salt and alcohol. Graham sat up, bringing Brent with him. "This floor is too hard for what I want to do to you." He kissed him, long and wet and dirty, then stood and tugged Brent to his feet. His lips formed a wicked curve as he ran his eyes up and down Brent's naked body. "Come with me, beautiful." They entered Graham's large bedroom, laughing and groping each other, and fell on the bed in a heap of limbs and tongues and hands and hard cocks and soft skin. Brent caught sight of a bottle of lube and some condoms on the bedside table. Graham must have seen, because he said, "Just making sure we're safe."
"For sure. I got tested after Cody and I broke up. Everything's cool."
"For me, too. I get tested every 6 months."
"Okay. Good."
Somehow, instead of killing the mood, the conversation made Brent feel closer to Graham. They turned on their sides and lay facing each other. Graham murmured, "Here's to you, Brent Granger, for having the most perfect skin, the hottest body, and the prettiest hazel brown eyes I've ever seen."
"Oh, yeah.
And the most fucking sinful set of lips I've ever had the pleasure to kiss."
"How do I top that?"
Brent began, and Graham interrupted with a sly grin. "Wrong position, babe."
"Very funny, and, don't get me distracted, okay? Here's to you, Graham Stoneford, for having the most beautiful eyes in the world, and the longest legs, and the cutest freckles, and the biggest cock ever."
Graham fell on his back, laughing, and hugged Brent to him. Then he pulled away and gazed into Brent's eyes.
"This is even better than I imagined. I've wanted you for so long, not just sexually. I thought you were adorable the moment I met you. But I think I've been a little in love with you ever since we ran into each other in Adams Morgan that day. It's kind of a miracle you're here with me."
Brent swallowed over the ache in his throat.
"I can't even believe we're here. I'm just happy. And I want to make you happy. I'm not as good as you are at expressing yourself, but you're like my best friend and mentor and lover, and I don't know how I got so lucky to find all of that in one person."
"I love you," he wanted to add. "But not yet. Maybe tomorrow." Graham's eyes grew moist, and he reached out to stroke Brent's cheek.
"What did I do to deserve you?"
They gazed moonily at each other until Brent became aware of a subtle shift in the energy from romantic to sexual. Lust spiked through him when Graham gave him a predatory smile and eased him onto his back, pinning one of Brent's arms above his head. He kissed along Brent's jaw, stopped at the base of his neck, and sucked. Brent arched and sighed.
"I used to sit in staff meetings," Graham murmured against his neck, "and think about undressing you, and then doing this."
He moved his mouth to Brent's nipple and sucked, teasing it erect with his tongue, breath quickening. Brent ran his fingers through Graham's hair.
"And then this," Graham whispered, moving over to the other nipple, sucking and teasing as he held Brent down.
And Brent squirmed, wanting him inside, wanting to suck him, wanting everything at once so badly he moaned. Graham raised his head.
"God, you're sexy. But mostly I thought..."
He ran his tongue slowly down Brent's stomach. "About doing..." Licking his way around Brent's belly button, he continued down. "This." He took Brent's straining cock into his warm mouth. Brent uttered a low cry as Graham hummed around his cock, zapping it with excruciatingly delicious vibrations that spread to Brent's balls. Graham pinned Brent's hip with one large hand and took Brent's dick in the other, holding it as he fed it into his mouth slowly and sensually, inch by inch.
"Jesus H. Christ."
Brent clutched the bedspread, trying to hold on. Graham was doing something amazing with his tongue, then sucking hard, and then, oh, God, he opened up his throat and took Brent's cock all the way in, anchoring him by the hips with his hands.
Brent lost it, grabbing Graham's head, plunging his fingers into his thick hair, and letting everything go. He was writhing, he was moaning, he was making noises he didn't know he was capable of making, and finally, Jesus fucking holy God in heaven, he grabbed Graham's hair in a death grip as his orgasm hit. It started in his toes and moved through him like a tsunami, racking him with spasmodic waves as he came down Graham's throat. Graham held him through it all, swallowing everything down. When Brent finally stilled, Graham relaxed his grip on his hips and let Brent's cock slip out of his mouth. He drew his lips along its softening length before slinking back up Brent's body, dropping kisses in random places. Brent, unable to do anything but lie there like a rag doll.
My God, Graham. Holy crap. You just blew my mind.
Graham smiled broadly and leaned up to kiss him, Brent tasting the faint trace of his cum on his lips.
That was the intention, he murmured.
He lay down beside Brent, stroking his hair, his erection, pressing up against Brent's hip.
Okay, Brent said, voice serious. Now in staff meetings, I was too intimidated to think much of anything. But in the last 2 weeks waiting for our date, all I could think about was this.
And he put his hand firmly around Graham's cock, savoring the heft. Graham gasped and shivered.
And okay, I admit I was also thinking about...
Brent kissed his way down Graham's side and across his hip, then gave his cock a slow stroke. This. He brought his lips down to graze the head of Graham's cock and felt Graham jump, then opened his mouth and stretched it over Graham's thick length as Graham moaned softly and put his hand on Brent's hair. Brent settled in to suck him off, stroking the base with one hand as he moved his mouth up and down the shaft. He figured he was doing okay, judging from Graham's litany of curses, which kept turning into inarticulate groans. The whole thing was hot as hell to Brent, his mouth and tongue and hand all over Graham's huge dick. He savored the taste of it and how velvety the skin was as it shifted over Graham's hardness. And the noises he was making. Damn! Brent felt his own cock trying to get hard again. He took hold of Graham's balls with his other hand, squeezing gently, fondling them. And Graham's broken cries became pleas. Brent slowed down, wanting to make it last, wanting to hear Graham fall apart, and felt a surge of satisfaction when Graham moaned and said,
God, Brent, come on, baby, give it to me.
Drive him wild, he instructed himself, as he pulled his mouth off Graham's cock for a moment, whispering, patience. Stroking the shaft ever so slowly, he moved his other hand to rub the spot between Graham's balls and his entrance.
Oh, my fucking God, Graham moaned, opening his legs wider and squeezing his eyes shut. You're killing me.
That's the idea. Brent took the head of Graham's cock back in his mouth and sucked, and Graham's head fell back against the pillow. Brent teased Graham's entrance with his finger as he gripped Graham's cock harder with the other hand. When Graham arched and cried out, Brent increased his suction, stroking fast and firm, and pushed the tip of his finger inside.
Oh, fuck.
Graham came, clenching his ass around Brent's finger, his voice rising to a musical wail before subsiding into a long, drawn-out,
ah.
Brent's mouth filled with a warm, salty flood, and he swallowed, sputtering a bit, cum dripping down his chin as Graham shook and gasped, his hand clutching Brent's hair. Feeling a surge of love for him, Brent held Graham's softening cock in his mouth as he gently withdrew his finger, then finally released him and ran his hand over Graham's chest soothingly as he wiped off his chin.
Come here,
Graham whispered, loosening his grip on Brent's hair. Brent moved up Graham's body and laid his head on Graham's shoulder, meeting his wide-eyed stare with a drowsy smirk.
Where the hell did you come from?
Graham asked.
You're unreal.
I'm definitely keeping you forever.
Good,
said Brent, snuggling closer and yawning, because you're stuck with me. I'm not going anywhere. Late the next morning, Brent stood in front of the bookcase in Graham's living room,
considering the reading choices. He'd woken up with a start, not knowing where he was, until he saw Graham's arm draped over his chest. He'd lain in bed for a while, gazing at Graham sleeping, loving the way his eyelashes curled long against his cheeks, the way his mouth parted slightly. Stopping himself from tracing his finger along those beautiful lips, he'd finally gotten out of bed, trying not to disturb Graham's sleep. Brent spied a familiar-looking book and pulled it out to make sure. Mary Oliver. He grinned, leafed through until he got to the poem that had started it all, and read it to the end. Wild and precious life, indeed. Thanks, Mary.
Good morning, beautiful.
Graham's voice sounded in his ear, his arms encircling Brent's waist from behind. He kissed Brent's temple and asked, "What are you reading? Mary Oliver?" Brent turned and wrapped himself around Graham, tiptoeing up to give him a long, lingering kiss.
"Hi there." "Yeah. Me and Mary, we go way back."
"Oh, do you?" Graham kissed the tip of Brent's nose, smiling down into his eyes.
"Yeah. I owe a lot to her."
Graham drew Brent closer, rocking him against his body as he murmured,
"Okay.
Do I even want to know what you're talking about?" Brent smiled against Graham's chest and snuggled in closer.
"Nah, doesn't matter now. I got what I was looking for."
Graham's arms tightened around him, and Brent felt warm all over.
"Me too, babe," Graham whispered. "Me too."
This has been Wild and Precious, written by C. Jane Elliott, narrated by Casey Kelly. Copyright 2014 by C. Jane Elliott. Production copyright 2016 by Dreamspinner Press.